Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special Saturday edition of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. My name is Sean, and I am so glad to welcome you to episode number 22. It is Saturday, October 8th, 2016, and we got a great show here for you tonight. WWE No Mercy is tomorrow night. SmackDown's second ever exclusive pay-per-view here tomorrow night. We are going to give you all of our predictions and thoughts on tomorrow's big event. And as always, Raw and SmackDown results and reaction. And of course, WWE and all of wrestling news and rumors here for you tonight. Exclusively our opinion. And our opinion only here on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And let's get to it here tonight, live from Cleveland, Ohio. It's the host of the show. Give it up for Big T.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is an honor and it feels great to be here on this wonderful Saturday night for episode number 22, Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Thank you, Sean, again for the wonderful introduction. And basically want to tell you guys a couple of things about the podcast is how I want to open up my thoughts for the week. I'm sure you noticed over the past like 5 weeks, I did not upload any episodes to iTunes. They were just on YouTube. And what happened was, my storage on Podomatic got full. I had to figure out what to do. So what I had to do is delete some older episodes of the podcast. So if you want to see or listen to old podcast classics, you'll have to tune into YouTube. And I'm working on getting like my old classic podcast episodes put on my website on www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com at some point in the future. But I uploaded 5 of some of the biggest and best episodes we ever had. 17 with Johnny Knockout exclusive interview. Episode 18 with AIW referee Dave Dawson. AIW is a indie company out here in Cleveland, Ohio. We had episode number 19, which I believe was Clash of Champions predictions, and episode 20, which was Clash of Champions review, and episode 21, which is an episode that I want to put a lot of emphasis on. It was an exclusive interview that we did on Thursday night, Jason Knight, ECW legend. Now, while I'm talking about this, I'm going to crack open a nice cold Mountain Dew whiteout. Get into the discussion. Ah, there we go. Well, the interview itself was rock solid. I mean, Jason is a wrestling legend, an ECW legend, and for him to give the time that he gave and to go in depth about his whole career and certain aspects, I just found totally astonishing. And I hope, you know, one day we could have Jason Knight back on the show again soon. I know Sean was mainly on the other end of the line, you know, listening to the podcast. He popped in a couple times to ask a question or two, but I know he mainly was listening and observing Jason and Sean's thoughts in on this. And you know, Sean, how was it for you to sit back and, you know, listen to that interview and take it all in? Because I'm still astonished even sitting here right now.
Man, I'm just so proud of the progress you've made as a wrestling reporter and as a wrestling mind. It never ceases to amaze me your talent when we're here interviewing these superstars. And, you know, Jason was just really a part of the golden era of wrestling, and He really delivered here for us on Thursday night. It was an honor to sit back and get to hear the stories of really a time gone by and just the time of every wrestling fan, I believe, respects so much and looks back on so fondly. It was really fantastic to hear inside stories and inside feelings of that time. And yeah, you and Jason just knocked it out of the park, and it's definitely one for the record books there, man. Big kudos to you.
I appreciate that, buddy. And I just hope that everybody that, you know, knows about this podcast or, you know, learned about it from us, I really hope that they will go back and give it a listen, because it's something that, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, man. Like I said, I'm literally sitting here in awe. Like, I just don't know if that'll ever be duplicated. That was something that was absolutely incredible. So guys, if you haven't checked it out, I'm going to link it in this video below if you're watching on YouTube to check out the Jason Knight exclusive interview. For those of you listening on iTunes, you know, podcast page, just go to episode number 21 and give that a listen. It's an hour and a half, and believe me, it'll be one of the best hour and a half long podcast, an hour and a half of your day, if you're a hardcore wrestling fan, to take the time out and listen to that. Absolutely incredible. Not to mention the incredible interviews with Dave Dawson and Johnny Knockout. I mean, things are really picking up here as far as the podcast is concerned. Now that brings us to tonight. How are we going to step up our game tonight? I'm going to explain that to you right now, how the game's going to be stepped up. I mean, you guys know, you know, of course, when we have interviews, it's a special treat. There's us doing what we do every week. We're stepping it up tonight big time with some of the biggest news and rumors that you're ever going to hear in a news and rumors segment on a podcast. News and rumors about Brock Lesnar and Goldberg happening at Survivor Series, Brock Lesnar, Shane McMahon happening at WrestleMania 33, rumors about TNA and WWE, rumors. There's just so much, guys. Just to give you a little bit of what's coming, I mean, this is going to be in-depth. This is going to be a lot of conversation, speculation. Don't forget, No Mercy predictions, preview and predictions. I mean, this is big. This is really big tonight, and oh, it's something that I'm really proud to be a part of. I really am. You know, it's something that I feel, you know, I'm trying to do the best job I can for the wrestling community that, you know, follows on the internet or follows podcasts, you know, all that stuff. Because when you come and listen to a podcast or you watch a YouTube channel, other guys can say they're the best, okay? And they can have subscriber numbers, you know, that are out of this world. But I'm telling you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, nobody can deliver it the way you, like a real person and a real fan. I'm not in it for money. This podcast is completely non-profit. It's free. Same with the YouTube channel. I do this because I love it. And when I say I love it, I really do. And I come on here in front of the camera when I'm on YouTube, not to make a buck, to do what I love to do and deliver the wrestling fans the best content that they ever thought possible. So you know what? When you find this channel, whether it be a week from now, a month from now, for people that have not discovered, you know, my channel yet or my podcast, subscribe button and stay subscribed, because I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. This will be the greatest show for all of your professional wrestling needs. I don't say that just to say it for a gimmick. I say it because I damn well mean it. And this is the only place that you want to be for your professional wrestling needs. I promise you that. John, are you still on with us, buddy?
Yes, I am.
All right. Just letting everyone know, man, this is where they gotta be. So, to show them that this is where they wanna be, let's get some things underway here.
Well, I cannot agree more here. Beyond the Ring with Big T, a wrestling podcast, your number one all stop access premier location for everything wrestling. Subscribe today. Share it on Twitter. Share it everywhere you need to, because we gotta support Big T. This is his dream, and we are going to make it into a reality, and you are gonna come along with us for the ride. It is going to be a fun one here on Beyond the Ring with Big T, wrestling podcast. And let's begin the ride right here with October 3rd, 2016's episode of Monday Night Raw, live from somewhere in the United States in Los Angeles, California, Staples Center. How could I forget? On the USA Network, Lana asked the United States champion Roman Reigns for a title rematch on her husband Rusev's behalf, which of course was later accepted in the form of a Hell in a Cell match later this month at the Hell in a Cell Raw pay-per-view, Rusev versus Roman Reigns for the U.S. Championship. And Brian Kendrick then defeated WWE Cruiserweight Champion TJ Perkins in a non-title bout. Braun Strowman, he defeated yet another squash match, if you will. I mean, that's just really how it is. He defeated Chase Silver. And then we had Jerry K.O., the team of Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. They challenged The New Day to a non-title matchup on Monday Night Raw. And if they win that match, well, what happens? They get a tag team championship title match. So let's see if they won that later in the night. Sami Zayn then defeated Titus O'Neil in one-on-one competition. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, they defeated the team of Golden Truth. And we also had Enzo Amore and Big Cass introduce the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Survivors, kicking off WWE's fifth annual cooperation and, you know, I guess you could say tag team with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. 5 years in a row, WWE has been supporting and honoring breast cancer survivors and all those women and men battling breast cancer here in the month of October. And also, we had the Raw Tag Team Champions, The New Day. Well, Jericho and Kevin Owens will not be getting their tag team title match because The New Day defeated Jarrett KO. Tony Ness defeated Rich Swann in Cruiserweight division matchup. And we had the team of Cesaro and Sheamus defeat Raul White and Mark Carradine. Sasha Banks and Charlotte were in the WWE Monday Night Raw main event, the first time two women main evented Monday Night Raw in 12 years, and this match was for the Raw Women's Championship, and we have a new WWE Raw Women's Champion in Miss Sasha Banks. That is right, Charlotte Flair lost her championship on Monday Night Raw via tap out. I think Big T might be happy about that, but I'm not sure. Let's find out right now, Big T. How was Monday Night Raw for you?
All right. My own biasness aside, to give an honest opinion of Monday Night Raw, I'm over the moon with Sasha Banks regaining the Raw Women's Championship. And for that, the show alone should be a 10 out of 10. but I'm going to put my personal feelings aside. Down the way it should be broken down professionally when you look at the show and the business as a whole. I mean, it had ups and downs. And with the squash match, I like when he got on the microphone and said that Foley better get him, you know, competition next week. So I was like, okay, we'll see. I guarantee you though, it's like, be careful what you wish for, because we're probably going to have Big Show or Mark Henry walk through the curtain. I think it'll be like Mark Henry to face Braun Strowman, and then Braun Strowman will dominate him. So it's like, I can kind of see that coming already. The whole thing with Jericho, KO, and the New Day having that exchange with the whole list of Jericho, and that was comedic gold. One of the most genuinely funniest things that I've seen, with four people or five people just interacting and bouncing jokes back and forth off one another. I really enjoyed that. Jericho gets screwed over by Seth Rollins, distracting Chris Jericho when he has the lion tamer in, making Xavier Woods ready to tap, and then, you know, Rollins comes down, distraction, boom, over. Hit the midnight hour, it's over. Rollins then has to go back and pedigree Jericho. It made me very upset with Seth Rollins this past Monday night, and I hope Jericho gets a lot of revenge on Mr. Rollins. But then again, Owen should also get his ass beat by Jericho for standing on the rampway like an idiot and not helping out his supposed best friend. I'm trying to think what else, guys. There was Cesaro and Sheamus fighting a couple of squash guys. Who cares? I mean, really, I can't get excited for these guys as a team. As far as I know, I believe they're fighting New Day for the tag titles at Hell in a Cell. That's going to be throwaway. New Day will win. Cesaro and Sheamus will probably split up just like that with the snap of a finger. Because this storyline is just, it's so dead. It is so dead. You know, they're trying to make this whole strange bedfellows type of tag team. It ain't working. But Sasha Banks and Charlotte, great women's main event, great spectacle of wrestling that these women put on. In the end, Charlotte tap, which made me the most happiest I've ever been, because finally I can watch the women's division in peace now on Raw. But the problem is, we've seen this rivalry go on since the Royal Rumble with Sasha and Charlotte. It's been since the Royal Rumble that this has been going on. Already in October, we're nearing the end of the year. The women's division on Raw, all you see is Sasha, Charlotte, Bailey, and a combination of the three in matches. That's all you see. And I just don't understand that the women's division on Raw is struggling. Dana Brooke, she don't know how to wrestle. She probably wouldn't even know how to carve a cucumber properly to slice it up and put it in a salad. She'd probably botch that, because all she does is botch. She knows how to botch. And that was a good line from Mr. JD from NY206 right away. So thank you, JD. I had to use that one because it's so damn true. But, you know, beyond all this, what should have felt like the greatest moment, possibly women's wrestling, just felt kind of, eh. Now, for me, I was over the moon, but if you really look at this from a business standpoint, it's just like, eh. It was a desperate ploy to pop a rating, since they had the second worst rating in Raw history the week before, and the show is just suffering. I mean, I'm going to give an honest rating of this show. The Sasha-Charlotte match with Sasha winning would get a 10 out of 10 from me. But like I said, I got to be objective. I got to split it right in the middle. It was just, 5 out of 10. SmackDown. All right. Raw.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking a lot more about SmackDown later in the night in, you know, the No Mercy predictions, of course, but just a quick rundown here of Tuesday night SmackDown Live from Valley View Casino Center in San Diego, California on Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. We had Kane defeat Bray Wyatt via countout and Alexa Bliss, ooh baby, and Carmella, ooh ooh baby, defeat Becky Lynch and Nikki Bella in women's tag team action. And we had Daniel Bryan with an honoring of the Susan G. Komen's More Than Pink standouts. The Hype Bros defeated the Vaudevillains. Ms. TV presented a Dolphumentary with Spirit. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that later in the night. And the Hype Bros, they defeated the Vaudevillains. Oh, sorry, I said that already. Jason Jordan defeated Jey Uso in singles action. Jack Swagger defeated Baron Corbin. Oh my god. Randy Orton captured Bray Wyatt. Oh Jesus. And in the main event of the night, it was a face-off with the triple threat No Mercy main event men all in the same ring on SmackDown night this Tuesday. AJ Styles, John Cena, and Dean Ambrose faced off one-on-one-on-one here on Tuesday night. And of course, there were some sparks and some confrontations and some fists a-throwing. Big T, SmackDown's go-home show for their second ever pay-per-view. How'd it go?
Well, I'm going to tell you with SmackDown, they definitely did their job. I mean, was the wrestling action good? Lukewarm on the wrestling side. But I do got to say, what they did on the wrestling side made sense to push forward to No Mercy. At least SmackDown has direction. Like, hey, you coming up. We have No Mercy coming up on Sunday. We got to make the show mean something. So let's actually do something that makes sense that I can commend them on. And that's because of what's his name, Ryan Ward, who used to write on and is writing on SmackDown. I feel it has, SmackDown has direction. Raw is very discombobulated. You can see how SmackDown's women division is being handled with care. You know, everything on SmackDown's really being handled with care. Like even Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I never dreamt I'd be, interested, but I am now. What else do we have? Triple threat title match. Fantastic. The Dolphumentary was, I mean, it was a great thing too. I mean, Dolph and Miz, that's the one match that I'm looking forward to more than anything else on the entire pay-per-view. Flat out. Miz, Ziggler, Intercontinental title, No Mercy, one of the best matches I think we're going to see. So, can't wait to see this happen. No Mercy, they actually went with direction. Like I said, Bray Wyatt looking for Randy Orton. Randy Orton playing the mind games, capturing Bray Wyatt. Then Bray Wyatt, you know, asking Sister Abigail to save him. And then he talks about how it's so good to see her. Then Randy Orton goes back to the garage where he locked Bray Wyatt. Randy Orton tried to play mind games with the master, but Bray Wyatt ended up one-upping Randy Orton in the end. So, I mean, just great stuff. At least there was direction. The final face-off with the three men in the world title match, triple threat, and No Mercy. I mean, great stuff. SmackDown definitely had direction and logic. It wasn't the greatest SmackDowns, but it was a good SmackDown. Since 7 out of 10 for SmackDown Live on Tuesday night. So, turned out to be pretty good.
I definitely agree with you there, man. But we have some, you know, we're getting in right now as we speak into our news and rumors segment. But I have some breaking news. some big, big, big breaking news that affects No Mercy. WWE No Mercy title match is off due to injury. You hear about this? Raj Geary of WrestlingINC.com reports that Dave Meltzer is reporting that WWE SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch will not be wrestling at Sunday's WWE No Mercy pay-per-view due to an undisclosed injury. She was scheduled to defend the SmackDown's Women's Champion against Alexa Bliss, and Meltzer noted that it was not clear when the injury happened, what it is, and how long she'll be out of action. Lynch last wrestled on this past Tuesday's episode of WWE SmackDown Live, where she teamed with Nikki Bella in a losing effort to Alexa Bliss and Carmella. WWE has yet to announce the injury and if there will be a replacement. So some breaking news there. Dave Meltzer, a very trusted source in the wrestling industry, reporting that Becky Lynch will not be defending her championship against Alexa Bliss at No Mercy.
Do you believe that to be true?
Well, you know, this is one of those things. Is it a rumor or is it news? We're just going off of what WrestlingINC.com has posted and what Dave Meltzer of, F4W Online is reporting.
Wow. I mean, I gotta tell you, if it's true, then it's unfortunate because that was one of the big matches that looking forward to seeing, that's for sure. And for it not to happen, man, I mean, we'll probably see it happen on SmackDown then, I guess, rather than a pay-per-view. That's pretty surprising. I just hope and wish all the best to Becky Lynch if she is indeed injured to where she can have a speedy recovery because, tell you, injuries, this is about the time the injury bug hit the WWE last year, 32, and it's like, God, I hope it isn't happening again. That's just, concerning, man. Very concerning.
Well, we'll definitely find out more about this as the night goes on and as tomorrow goes on. Of course, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. is the kickoff for the No Mercy pay-per-view, so we will find out more throughout the next 24 hours. But did you hear this story? WWE is looking to add ROH and TNA to the WWE network and allow fans to vote for WWE Hall of Famers. Raj Geary of WrestlingINC.com reports this very intriguing story. WWE sent out an interesting survey about the WWE network, which you can check out in the photo below via Yahoo News. A link is here at this story on WrestlingINC.com. They are looking at having a four-tiered system. Now, we talked about this months ago here on the channel. And now WWE is actually sending out its feelers for this possibility, which, you know, I'm quite torn with. They are looking at having a four-tiered system, which would include a free tier. One of the more interesting items is that the fourth tier would have access to independent wrestling such as TNA and Ring of Honor. Please note that this is just a survey though and nothing official is as of yet. There have been reports of WWE purchasing TNA for their video library for a while now, and even WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross talked about reports of WWE buying the video library on the latest episode of The Ross Report on Podcast One and iTunes earlier this week, and noted that WWE was interested in buying only the video library and not the actual promotion. Right now, we hear that WWE and TNA have had talks regarding WWE buying the library and that the deal is imminent, Ross said. Here are some interesting items from the survey regarding the four tiers. The first tier is a free tier system would allow you to watch all video clips less than 5 minutes each, 5 hours of video archives, including live events, for 30 days after they air, and you would be able to watch it on all devices. Now, that would be free. Not too much there offered, but, you know, a nice little free sample. For the second tier, $4.99.
Let's see, Sean. Hold on here. I gotta get Sean back. Hold on 1 second, everybody. Hold on here. We'll get him back. I'm giving him a call right now to let him know that he got kicked out.
All right, I'm back. I have no idea how that happened. Just like what?
You got kicked off right after you said not too much for free, but a nice little free sample.
Okay, man. Sorry about that.
So, whatever point you were going to say right after a nice little free sample, you got to continue from there.
Okay, yep. Like I said, a nice little free sample for your free WWE Network. But also, there will be a second tier. Now, listen to this. $4.99 a month plan would get you this. You'd be able to get the big four pay-per-view events, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. Yes, that's right. $4.99 a month, and you get to watch WrestleMania. And pre-recorded weekly NXT episodes, it would only play on phone and tablet devices, however. So no Apple TV, no Roku, no PlayStation, no computers. Only on phone and tablet devices. Interesting. They noted that there would be a new weekly Cruiserweight Classic episodes on the third tier of $9.99 a month, and the top tier would be $14.99 a month. For the top tier at $14.99 a month, you would receive early event ticket access, Hall of Fame voting, offline content downloads, and small group online chats. There will also be deluxe fan perks, like second screen content and invites to in-person VIP meetups. The top tier is also the only plan to feature no commercials. At the bottom of the survey, it asks if there are plans were truly available, would you subscribe to this one selected above? Which plan, if any, would you subscribe to? Well, I think it's safe to say I would be in the $14.99 a month club, but I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting concept for the WWE. They are trying to evolve their network and, you know, make more money and give a better experience for their fans at large. But I can't get over paying $4.99 a month and you get to watch WrestleMania. I don't think that's really too fair, honestly. I don't even like the fact that, you know, people get to sign up for free and get to watch WrestleMania for free. I mean, I'm happy if they're happy, but at the same time, it's like, it just doesn't feel right. But I'd be willing to pay $14.99 a month for all those awesome perks that would be included in that. And I'm taking a wild guess here, and I think you would too, Big T. Oh,
of course I would. I mean, you're talking to a guy that used to spend, $50 a month on pay-per-view, and then if there'd be two pay-per-views in a month, $100 a month on pay-per-views. So, to have everything, and I wouldn't have to worry about getting ROH pay-per-views ever again either, and have everything TNA, of course I would.
And don't forget, you also get invites to in-person VIP meetups, Hall of Fame voting. and you receive early event ticket access. This could be, you know, every fan's dream if they ever want that front row ticket that they could never seem to get.
Yeah, for me, I'll tell you, that would be so perfect. And hopefully one of the greets would be with Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. Now, did you get the survey? I don't believe I did. I have to maybe double check my emails.
I did not get the survey. As I know of, I'm going to have to double check my emails as well and see if I got it, but I really don't believe that I did.
So, yeah, for right now, that's what I got going. Big T, do you have, your massive this week's news and rumors ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, before I get into the huge Brock Lesnar and Goldberg stuff and, all that other good stuff with what's going on, let me, start with the smaller stuff. WWE live event for October 8, 2016, which happened earlier today. The event was held in Lima, Peru. We had Sami Zayn defeating Luke Harper. Harper is wrestling house shows now, I guess, before he gets back on TV. Raw Women's Champion Sasha Banks retained over Charlotte by submission. Awesome. At least Charlotte has to eat a lot, even during house shows. Darren Young and Neville defeated Titus O'Neil and Bo Dallas. That strikes me as who cares. Enzo Amore, Big Cass, Goldust, and R-Truth defeat Curtis Axel, Jinder Mahal, Primo, and Epico. Who gives a shit? Braun Strowman defeats Sin Cara. How many times have we fucking seen that? Bayley and Alicia Fox defeated Dana Brooke and Nia Jax. Wow, they're doing some weird stuff on the house show circuit. WWE Tag Team Champs, The New Day retained over Cesaro and Sheamus and Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson in a triple threat tag title match. I don't know why they're doing these two matches when these are like the main focuses of Hell in a Cell right here. WWE United States Championship, Roman Reigns retains over Rusev. In the main event, WWE Universal Champion Kevin Owens retains over Seth Rollins. Rollins won by disqualification and hit a pedigree after the match. So, I don't know, I'm too intrigued, you know, by all that. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like something that's like, oh, so good, but, what was I gonna say? Sean, how do you feel about that?
I'm more fascinated that they were even in Lima, Peru right now. I mean, that's a very far distance to go to put on a house show, but I'm sure the people of Peru, really enjoyed this rare occasion where WWE goes south of the hemisphere and, you know, it's like you said, they put on different results than they would on TV, but, you know, I feel like when WWE goes to faraway lands, the people don't really care as much about the results or who's in the matches, and they just care about getting out and having a good time and watching some wrestling.
You definitely got a point there, man. Well, I do have, some interesting news about Monday Night on Raw coming up. Cruiserweight Classic star to make his Raw debut this Monday. Noam Dar, who competed in the WWE Cruiserweight Classic, will be backstage at this Monday's Raw in Oakland, California. According to PWInsider.com, Dar will be making his debut in the Cruiserweight division on Raw. So, face is going to be added to the Cruiserweight division, which I gotta say, like the sounds of that. Let's see if this story here. Let's see. Not the one I was looking for. I hate when this happens. I had it up there and...
Would you mind if I broke in with one more story here real quick? I think you'll like it.
Go right ahead. Feel free while I'm getting more stuff together because that one turned out not to be the one I needed.
Well, WrestlingNews.co is reporting that Vince McMahon is very upset with WWE Monday Night Raw ratings, and changes are set to be made to WWE television shows.
Oh, cool, because I wanted to get into the Raw and SmackDown ratings, so if you want to do those, that's awesome.
Oh, I don't believe this has the current ratings. This is just a story about the general Vince McMahon being upset.
Okay, I got you, sorry.
Okay, we got Corey Jacobs of WrestlingNews.co reports the following. If you're a fan that watches Raw hoping that the product will improve, well, there might be some good news for you because there have been talks about WWE making changes to their television shows. The company will publicly downplay the ratings when they are low, but Vince McMahon was upset with the record low viewership for the 9/27 show. It's funny because everyone knew that the show would get hammered by the presidential debate, but McMahon was still upset by the number. The bigger problem with Raw viewership is that they've slowly dipped over the years, but they've dropped far more than expected for the current football season. On this week's episode of Raw, when Rusev kicked Roman Reigns into the crowd, Michael Cole said that he was kicked into the WWE fans. The word fans was replaced by universe term several years ago, but it was dropped this week and it was not a mistake on Cole's part. The idea is that they realize that some of their verbiage is brutal to listen to, so they are attempting to make changes. Wow. Alle effinluya. Will these changes stick with WWE? You never know, but it's good to hear that they are trying to make improvements. This week's Raw rebounded, but they are still well below average from what they used to get during football season. So yeah, Big T, I mean, it's just so painful when we have to sit there and hear, you know, the word sports entertainers, and we have to hear all this censored shit that WWE thinks they need to do because they're running like some freaking creepy army. Instead of just being real and being down to earth, they're so phony and, you know, just like their appearance on television is so forced and phony. And it's like, enough is enough. I feel in my bones that we are on the precipice of another attitude era. And if this story is correct, which I do believe it is, we're in that 1996 era right now, 20 years later, where Vince is like, enough is enough. I'm throwing down all the, you know, stock. I'm throwing down everything, and we have to make money again. We have to make WWE great again, to borrow a line from WWE Hall of Famer and future President Donald Trump.
Oh, hold on, everybody. We lost Sean again. It keeps kicking him out here. What's going on? Let's get him back on as soon as possible here. Anybody in the live chat on YouTube, if you want to leave us comments or messages to answer on the air, leave them right now.
Man, I don't know what's going on. I keep getting kicked out.
Yeah, I called.
And now your mic's off. So I don't know where I dropped out, but all right, well, while we wait to get Big T back, I'm just gonna run through the story here once again. excuse me, getting over a cold, guys. So while we wait to get Big T back, isn't it just lovely, Google Hangouts? I'm going to have to keep the screen on. Well, I can't keep the screen on here because I'm reading from a different screen, but, we were, in the middle here of, okay.
Am I there?
Yeah. Where did I drop out?
When you said to borrow a line from WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump.
Oh, that's weird. So
after you said Donald Trump, it dropped.
Wow. Well, like I was saying, I feel like we are on the precipice of a new attitude era. McMahon's going to throw down all of his chips. He's going to say, you know what? We still might be making a lot of money, but imagine how much more money we can make if we don't act so fake and annoying and stupid.
I agree, because McMahon, we've all, you know, we've been over this, and as sad as it is, Sean, it's true. The whole Chris Benoit situation is what made all this happen. Vince McMahon sold out to everybody under the pressure because of the whole Chris Benoit controversy, and, you know, this is what happened, and I hope that, you know, finally, getting over this, you know, I just hope they could do some. But now what worries me is, okay, say WWE starts like an Attitude-esque kind of era again. And then the Chris Benoit Crippler movie or Crossface movie.
I think we lost Big T here again, but like he was, you know, definitely getting to the point of, you know, with the tragedy of Benoit and the just absolute horrible fallout from that situation. WWE changed. And some would say they changed for the better, but I think a lot of people who were the most loyal to WWE would say, they changed for the weirder, and they changed for the more worse. And we just want them to be the best they could be. And
Big Am T- I there?
Yep.
All right. Well, like I was saying with, you go through an Attitude-esque type era, watch the Crossface movie. The Chris Benoit biopic that's gonna come out. Watch that movie come out and then the new era that we get in love and enjoy, it'll be taken away from us because the Benoit controversy is gonna resurface through the Crossface movie and then McMahon's gonna sell out again.
I don't understand why they're even making that movie. I mean, I'm not gonna go see it. I don't think any wrestling fan should go see that because it's nothing more than people trying to benefit from an absolute horrific occasion. I don't really care which way you try and spin it. Oh, we're raising awareness. Raising awareness for what? It was documented all over the world. If anyone wants to know about it, you could research it and find out all the awareness you need. You're trying to make a movie and, you know, basically try and destroy the wrestling business. Well, you know what? No wrestling fan should see that movie. It's just going to be an absolute disgrace.
I mean, I got to be honest with you, Sean, just for the, it's just the way I am. For some reason, I do want to see the movie just to see what they're going to do. But if they put pro wrestling in a bad light and they try to turn the blame on pro wrestling through this movie, then I'm going to be really upset. Basically what I want to see it for. I want to see if they're, you know, through this movie, are they actually going to, you know, maybe put it on Benoit that it was on him, which, you know, that's what they should do. Or are they going to try to spin this and turn this into, oh, this was all his pro wrestling career's fault. This is all because of wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, put wrestling in the worst negative light possible. That's why I'm interested to see where this is going to go. If you know what I mean. Still there?
Yep, I do understand.
So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from with that. You know, it's like, they're going to spin it. And if they put it in pro wrestling's lap, then I'm going to be really disappointed. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. But I do have some news here. Part of the big stuff before I'm saving that Brock Lesnar story is like, field course. Before I get into the whole TNA, WWE issues and Brock Lesnar issues and all that stuff, I have ratings to go over before I get into the real big stuff here. And Sean, I hope you're listening because now I have other tabs open. So if my mic drops out, I'm going to need you to help me out right away.
Okay.
Let's see. So this is Monday Night Raw ratings here, folks. The Raw ratings and viewerships for Monday Night's Raw are in, and the show had a decent rebound from last week's almost all-time low. This week's show, which featured the women's main event, the women main eventing for the first time in a dozen years, averaged 2.797 million viewers. Raw's viewership increased 13% from last week's 2.478 million viewers. The show also did a 1.92 cable rating for the night, and this is up from last week's 1.75 rating, which was the second lowest Raw rating in history. So the hourly breakdown is like this, folks. First hour, 2.877 million viewers. Now, last week's was 2.85 million. Then the second hour for this week, 2.87. Last week...
Audio. Well, while we wait for Big T to get back here with us for Monday Night Raw's ratings, I saw a pretty interesting story today where WWE and Sting are working together at New York City Comic Con. I'm sure a lot of you guys are Sting fans, of course. Sting was at Comic Con promoting the new WWE action figures, which aren't only WWE, they are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dressed up as WWE superstars. Now, at Walmart, I know we have WWE action figures as zombies, but now we're going to have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dressed up as WWE superstars. So Sting was at Comic-Con in New York City this weekend promoting that. I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to go out and buy yourself some Ninja Turtle John Cena action figures. Big T, how about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, we got Big T back. So back to WWE Monday Night Raw ratings.
All right. Well, the first hour viewership for this week was 2.877 million viewers. Last week's first hour viewership was 2.85 million viewers. And this week's second hour viewership was 2.87 million viewers, with last week's being 2.381 million viewers. And finally, the third hour for this week's viewership was 2.644 million viewers, with last week's being 2.203 million viewers last week. As always, the third hour saw a significant drop in the audience despite the stellar main event between Sasha Banks and Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship. The show lost over 200,000 viewers from the second to the third hours. Also, the trend continues with no hour of the show managing to break the 3 million viewer ceiling although the numbers are inching up this week, that once normal level seems to keep eluding WWE's flagship show. Raw was number 4 on cable for the night in viewership behind the NFL's Monday Night Football, SportsCenter, and the O'Reilly Factor. Raw was number 4 in the 18 to 49 demographic behind the NFL, SportsCenter, and Love and Hip Hop, which I don't understand what is with this Love and Hip Hop craze. I never watched the damn show in my life. All I know is it beats out Raw every single damn week, and that's a disgrace. That is a total disgrace. And to show you though, even with Sasha Banks and Charlotte, it's just not doing the job. People will tune out unless you give them something that they can absolutely sink their teeth into to watch your product with. If you don't give them something that is 100% completely sink your teeth into it, these fans are just leaving. But let's get into SmackDown Live ratings, and then we're going to have the two main core stories of the evening, which is the WWE TNA situation and the Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Shane McMahon situation. So, oh, I hope I can get this in. This is a huge week. Let's see. The SmackDown ratings are in for this week, and it is about the same as it was last week. The Blue Brand drew 2.316 million viewers this week. Now, this is down 1%. From last week's 2.340 million viewers, it drew a 0.73 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic on cable. Once again, pretty much what they got last week, which was 0.74 in the same demographic. This week's show went up against the first vice presidential debate, but the Blue Brand held its own, and the hype for Sunday's No Mercy pay-per-view and the build for the much-hyped triple threat match between John Cena, AJ Styles, and Dean Ambrose seemed to keep viewers tuned in. This is good news for the WWE, and the audience for SmackDown also stayed within the 80 to 85% of Raw viewership this week as well. Once again, good news for WWE's Tuesday night show. SmackDown seems to be holding steady with its base audience since moving to USA Live on Tuesday night. SmackDown was number 9 for the night in viewership behind the vice presidential debate, with accompanying coverage and the MLB, the 18 to 49 demographic, after 3 weeks at number 1. So there you go. SmackDown is still, you know, it's still in the 1 ratings, just like, Raw is. Man, WWE is just suffering so much right now with, trying to stay afloat, and they do need to change something here. Sean, what do you got to say about these ratings?
Well, glad they're rebounding, but, it's like you said, man, they could definitely be doing better. We all know that. And it's not the wrestlers' fault. It's the storytellers. It's the people in charge. They have these strings way too tight. They know what they have to do. They have to throw. You have to take a risk to get the reward, and they don't seem like they want any type of reward. They're just complacent, and it's getting boring. And, you know, it's just a damn shame.
This is my friend. Before I get into the big news stories, I just want to throw a couple of things in very quickly. For those of you that probably have heard in the news, Alberto Del Rio was stabbed outside of a San Antonio, Texas airport restaurant, like right outside. I guess he was stabbed brutally stabbed by a homeless man. And, there were pictures of Del Rio with like cuts on his arm and stuff like that. So, I guess he's doing well from what I've heard. I don't think there's anything, you know, though, as of late, whether if they caught the guy or what happened. So just want to throw that out there for you guys, though, that I did hear that earlier in the week. Also, another one I heard is Jamie Noble suffered 2 stab wounds after returning home. Park. He really does live in a trailer park. And, I felt that Jamie Noble cut him off in traffic. He followed him to his house. And basically was all upset. He got upset, belligerent, stabbed Jamie Noble 2, and Jamie Noble posted the graphic pictures as well. So wishing him a speedy recovery. And, it sounds to me like he's doing well, the last I heard. Now with all this, guys, I'm going to be serving you the main course. And you know what? I'll even put this on screen share so you guys can see. Let's see if I can get this to work here for you. You guys can see this huge headline and read along with me. For those that are watching on YouTube, for those listening on iTunes, just listen and read along with me, people. Okay. Sean, can you see the screen? Is it coming out okay?
Yes, it is.
All right. So as you can see right there, WWE News. WWE reportedly buys TNA Wrestling Library. Billy Corgan to become majority owner and rebrand the company. Oh, what big news is this? Well, let's read it. It had been pretty clear for some time that the WWE had an interest in buying TNA Wrestling. The thing WWE really wanted out of this was the TNA library that they could put on the WWE network and make a lot of money. It made sense for WWE to have an interest in the TNA tapes because there was some valuable material in the archives, and the question was, could WWE secure the tape library? It was noted today by WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross that a sale was likely to happen very soon. In fact, he used the word imminent to describe the situation. He noted, however, that the WWE was not buying the promotion, but that they were just acquiring the library of TNA. One would imagine that the new owner of TNA would want to keep all of the material to produce DVDs and Blu-rays, which could be quite profitable for the business. They also could not recognize the history of TNA in the new promotion without the footage either. Ross was correct, it seems, and WrestleZone is reporting that WWE has in fact purchased the TNA Wrestling Library. Includes all of the matches that TNA had ever put on. Now, again, they did not buy the promotion, however, as Billy Corgan did this, and he has now become the majority owner of the promotion. He is expected to rebrand it going forward as a new company. There is no word on what the new name will be, but some speculate that it won't be too far from something TNA fans know well. All right, so let's dive more into this here. Now, Dixie Carter happened to address the locker room on Monday by saying that she would not let the WWE buy TNA, and she was telling a half-truth. TNA and all of its history, the talent and company will not go to them, but rather to Billy Corgan. The question is, will Corgan be able to keep the talent that the company has and be able to handle the major debt as well? Right now, this seemed easy for a company like WWE, as they could at least lay off workers and cut talent so they would not have to worry anymore. However, Corrigan cannot really do this. One also has to wonder where this leaves former TNA investor Panda Energy. If TNA is sold, but people signed with Panda over TNA. Let's see. Does that mean they are now free agents due to the fact that Panda does not have majority ownership anymore? And of course, Panda Energy, for those of you that may not know, Panda Energy is owned by Dixie Carter's family. Yeah, it brings in a lot of money here. But let's go forward here. Questions to wonder about. Also, several top TNA wrestlers are rumored to be leaving next year, including Matt and Jeff Hardy. Some who were loyal to Dixie Carter are also likely to leave. It is also thought that Billy would not be able to pay the talent what they feel they are worth. You know, they could leave some when their deal is up because of this reason. This led to some leaving even when the Carter family owned. Now, let's go forward here. Let's look at this. All right. There is so much to wonder about when it comes to the Billy Corgan ownership. He clearly is a smart guy who is obviously trying to help TNA and make it a good business now that he is the majority owner of the promotion of TNA. People expect to know what will happen going forward, from economics to simple creative. Many things will be questioned under Billy Corgan now that he is the boss. Hold on, I'm trying to scroll this here. Okay, will TNA be in the same position next year? Some think so if the debt is not killed off. Getting rid of talent may very well help this, as well as some simply not re-signing. The fact that Dixie Carter is no longer in charge of anything does make some in TNA feel the business will only do better under new leadership. What was that? The audio come through. Oops. That was a weird echo. Sorry about that. What, Sean?
You're good.
Sorry about that. Let's see. Dixie Carter is no longer in charge of anything. Does make some in TNA feel the business will only do better under new leadership. It very well could. Seriously, could it get any worse than Carter? Dixie was seen as a cancer when it came to TNA. She was never good at handling the business and made more mistakes than one ever should. She was reportedly told about the issues, but nothing was ever handled. Corrigan does at least come off as more competent, and due to TNA being under his leadership, they very well could get better. And the real question is, with all the problems, does the new company stand a chance to sign top talent, put on shows people want to see, and still make a profit? That may be the toughest thing for the company under any name going forward. Wow. Might run a little over because I do have the Brock Lesnar story to talk about, but man, something this huge, we gotta get some reaction. I mean, first off, I feel, TNA, in all honesty, with Billy Corgan being at the top now, I can understand, may do better, WWE buying the tape library. I love that because I would love that to be a part of the WWE network. But from Billy Corgan's standpoint, why would he even allow WWE to buy the tape library, even if he's rebranding the product? Because as the article states, he has no history now, no past history that he could build onto this and make like promo packages for or anything. So I don't know where he's coming from, but it sounds to me in the article that this is all but confirmed. I don't know if it actually is confirmed or what's going on, but it sure sounds to me like it is. But again, take it with a grain of salt. This came from theinquisitor.com, written by Joe Bergen. Sean, huge, huge story.
Well, Billy Corgan, you know, he's gonna do the best he can. Is TNA a sinking ship financially? Yes. Is it gonna be practically impossible to get themselves out of the debt that they're in? Yes. Is it good WWE's buying the library? Of course. But yeah, I mean, if anyone could do it, I guess it could be Billy Corgan. I mean, why not? He can't do any worse, I don't think. And if he does, well, it's going to be a sad state of affairs, but if I had any bit of advice, it would be get the hell off of Pop Network and get back on traditional cable that everyone in the country pretty much has. So yeah, that's my two cents. On to Brock Lesnar. Let's hear it.
All right. This is huge stuff, guys. It's basically two stories, but it ties into one. It's about Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, and it is also about WWE supposedly has chosen an opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33. Sean, I know that's the first time I tried it on the podcast with screen sharing the main event article. What did you think of it? Do you think I should stick with regular camera or go with that screen share? How did it come off on your angle?
Well, it came off great. I just couldn't help but notice on that Inquisitor page there were some very bizarre advertisements on the side. I hope that's kosher with YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know what's with the advertisements going on.
So that was my only, you know, little concern there. But yeah, it was great.
All right, well, I'll give this a screen share so everybody could see and follow along on these main event stories here. So let me kick on the screen share and let's talk about the main event stories. This will really get the juices flowing. All right. So there you see it, ladies and gentlemen. There you see it. The huge story. This is basically like part one of a second part because right away, you read this headline right here by Aaron Sass on Inquisitor. Answer quoted, Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar scheduled for Survivor Series. So right away, that's probably leaving you guys asking, sitting, either if you're listening on your mobile device to the podcast, if you're watching this on YouTube Live, you're probably asking yourself, what does this mean for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33? Well, I have a story about what this means for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33 after I read this one. So like I said, huge Newsweek, people. Never have been a Newsweek like this before. Do this. All right. So Dave Meltzer says Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar is scheduled for Survivor Series. All right, let's kick this off. I'm excited, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited because I've been waiting for this. All right. Even though he did not announce that he would be returning to the WWE anytime soon, during his appearance on Wednesday's SportsCenter, you know how SportsCenter is the off-the-top rope segment, it appears that the former WWE and WCW World Heavyweight Champion Bill Goldberg will be returning to face Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series next month. On Thursday's Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer, who was one of the people that originally reported that Goldberg would be coming back to face Lesnar at Survivor Series, said that the match is scheduled to happen and that Brock Lesnar has been made aware is for him to face the former WCW megastar in Toronto at Survivor Series. So, right here, as you can see on your screen, is from Goldberg. Goldberg says, Meltzer's quote. I'm sorry. This quote right here on your screen is Dave Meltzer's quote. He says, Goldberg is coming back to wrestle Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series unless something has changed. It is scheduled. It is cleared with Lesnar. Everything is set up. All I know is Vince McMahon had that scheduled. So that's according to Dave Meltzer. So take that as a grain of salt, you know, as you will. Now, before Goldberg's appearance on ESPN, there was a ton of speculation that Goldberg would announce that he is coming back to face Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series during his interview segment on SportsCenter, but he actually did just the opposite, as he seemed like he did not want to come back, and in his words, ruin his legacy. See, there's a couple of tweets here that we could check out. WWE on ESPN, it says, could Goldberg make a return as an active wrestler? Who would he want to face? And they're like, watch the video. There's another tweet here, more from Goldberg's appearance with the coach on SportsCenter. Here from B. Campbell. So, ESPN. So there's another one. And they have the whole article posted right there. So if you want to check that out, you could go on WWE on ESPN on Twitter and check out the video for yourself. Oh, let's see what we got here. Goldberg, who is 49, said that at his age, people may not buy him as a legitimate threat to Brock Lesnar, which is why he is worried that he will ruin his legacy as one of the most dominant and scary pro wrestlers of all time. However, he did that Brock Lesnar is the one guy that he would want to face if he comes back to the squared circle. Now, it has been a little over 12 years since Goldberg last wrestled, WrestleMania 20 to be exact, in Madison Square Garden, if you guys really want to know, because they don't have that listed here, but I can tell you. Moving forward, though, but he remains in fantastic shape since leaving the WWE in 2004. He has been training in Muay Thai on a regular basis, and in several recent interviews, he said that for the first time in his life, he has started doing a good amount of cardiovascular-based training, and since making the deal with 2K Sports to be the pre-order bonus for WWE 2K17, which will become available for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on October 11th, that's this Tuesday, by the way, Goldberg has said that he considers the issues that he had the WWE upon leaving in 2004 to be water under the bridge, adding that he would be open to talking with Vince McMahon and Triple H about a return if they were interested. Now, even though it is being reported that Goldberg is coming back at Survivor Series, the ex-WWE World Champion said during his aforementioned appearance on ESPN, that he has not spoken to Vince McMahon since he left wrestling 12 years ago. Of course, he could very well be telling the truth, as Triple H, who was in charge of bringing in talent, is the one who hammers out the details with both new WWE superstars. And there you see a tweet on the Wrestling Observer's page, as they have listed here on the Inquisitor. Lesnar versus Goldberg update. and they got Del Rio stabbing Impact Future. So everything that we covered. Now, let's go here and read this, and then I'll tell you guys what this means for Lesnar at WrestleMania. If the reports are true, does indeed return at Survivor Series. It will be the third year in a row that 2K has brought a wrestling legend and WWE together as they helped felicitate the return of the Ultimate Warrior, WWE debut over the last 2 years. And another interesting note is that WWE wants to do Lesnar versus Goldberg at Survivor Series because they have something else in mind for Lesnar at WrestleMania 33. So apparently Lesnar versus Goldberg will be a one-off, meaning it is unclear if Goldberg will return for another match at some point. During an interview with WWE.com over the summer, Goldberg said that he has more than just one match left in him. And additionally, he said during his interview on ESPN that aside from Brock Lesnar, there are several guys on the WWE roster that he would love to face. So it is possible that the WWE could put together another match for him at WrestleMania 33. Wow. A lot to take in. Huge news. I really want to see this match. I really do. The fact that it's not happening at WrestleMania, especially with the news that I know now, or who he's planned to face at WrestleMania, I just don't understand why they're doing this. I'm kind of at a loss here why they would pull the trigger at Survivor Series. But I mean, if it happens, I'm excited for it. I'd love to see it. I just wish I could be there in person to see it. Sean, I know this has been huge, and we still have one story left, but with this whole Goldberg-Brock Lesnar thing reportedly taking place at Survivor Series, how do you feel about all this that I just rambled off in this long story?
Well, I don't think Goldberg has any place in the WWE ring with the way he, you know, acts like he's better than WWE. He never really respects people like Triple H, or, you know, the way he treated Bret Hart and WCW by basically kicking his head off. I think Goldberg needs to stay far away and never come back to the WWE wrestling ring again. I'm not a fan of him. I'm not a fan of Lesnar. Both of these guys think that they're so great, when in reality, their match at WrestleMania 20 was horrible.
Their match at WrestleMania 20 was probably, dare I say, Sean, probably one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history. Do you agree?
I do agree, and I don't think it's going to get any better, you know, 12 years later. I just don't. I think it's only going to be worse. What are they going to stand there and hug each other for 10 minutes again? I don't care. Have fun, Toronto. I was dreaming about going to Toronto for my first time and going to Survivor Series, but if this be the case, I don't even want to go. It's more of a spectacle than it would be anything else. And I doubt it's even going to happen because WWE would have made some sort of inclination towards it. But, you know, maybe it'll happen this Monday night on Raw, you know, to give some promotion to the video game. I don't know. I just don't know. And like I said, it'd be more of a spectacle than it really would be a decent, memorable match.
There's actually an update to this, Brock Lesnar Goldberg story. Wow, I didn't even see this. This just popped up on the Inquisitor after I read it. Like, they have another update story. There's so much going on with this. For some reason, this is probably some of the biggest news of the year to break through, but I'm gonna read what they have updated. 'Cause now, This is an explanation why WWE is planning Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg for Survivor Series instead of WrestleMania. So now this is a why, and then after the why, it gives you who is Brock going to finally face at WrestleMania 33. So, I know guys, it's a little overtime. This week this big, you know, I'm not going to, you know, shortcut it and not give you all the news and rumors that you deserve here. So, the screen share back on and let's go for another ride and let's see the why this is going to happen. This is an update that came through that I just seen on Inquisitor's page. So perfect. While we're here on the air, we might as well just dive into the update. It doesn't hurt. WWE News. Why WWE is planning Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg for Survivor Series instead of WrestleMania 33. This is written by Andy Slawecki. The Goldberg speculation has been running rampant for a better part of the year, increasing significantly when it was revealed that he had come to an agreement with 2K Sports to appear in the newest WWE video game, though Brock Lesnar got the cover. But the speculation reached new heights this week, leading to reports that a Goldberg-Lesnar match was all but confirmed for the Survivor Series pay-per-view this November. Here's competition from the National League wildcard game. Wrestling fans tuned in to Wednesday Night Sports Center in waves, where Goldberg was the guest of Jonathan Coachman for his weekly wrestling segment called Off the Top Rope. The coach asked all the right questions. Did not provide a definitive answer about a return to the ring. He did mention that Brock Lesnar is a potential opponent if he were to return, but claimed he had not spoken one word with Vince McMahon since departing from the WWE back in 2004. Now, that does not necessarily mean that there hasn't been any communication, because there clearly has been. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that it was Triple H who helped facilitate agreements with the likes of Sting, Ultimate Warrior, and Bruno Sammartino. But the hope is that Goldberg was trying to throw people off his scent. Even though many assumed he agreed in segment to announce something significant, like a match with Brock Lesnar, for instance, it became clear that Goldberg was more interested in promoting the WWE 2K17 video game rather than revealing anything concrete about an actual return to the WWE. And according to the Daily Wrestling News, this is part of the reason that WWE officials are planning on Goldberg facing Lesnar at Survivor Series instead of next year's WrestleMania 33. I forgot to show you guys the tweet up above here. Do it. There you go. This was on SportsCenter's page if you want to see the video with Goldberg and Coach. It's all right there. And then let's go down, back down here, get in on this one. So big update on Goldberg's WWE status according to NoDQ.com. Now, that was in a tweet there. Let's see what we got here. The WWE is going all in with the promotion of the video game, which comes out on October 11th. Survivor Series is the next major pay-per-view on the calendar, so WWE officials will look to bring Goldberg in to have the match and promote the game at the same time rather than wait for WrestleMania, which would be too far down the road, to boost game sales. Wow, so this is all a game sales plot. The other reason behind booking the match for November instead of the biggest show of 2017 is because WWE officials already have Brock Lesnar's next opponents all lined up. willing to adjust. Previous reports indicate that Vince was pushing for Lesnar to face The Rock at WrestleMania 33, but the new leading candidates to the Beast is now Shane McMahon. The seeds for a Shane Lesnar program was planted back at SummerSlam with the intention of putting the two together, likely around Mania season. The top three matches rumored for WrestleMania 33 continue to include Shane and Brock, Undertaker, John Cena, and Triple H going up against Seth Rollins. Injuries forced the company to scramble and rebook on several occasions this past year. So anything can happen, but those are the plans as of now. There's another tweet with Goldberg and Lesnar. And there's a lot, but here in the bottom it says, it was not noted who the other opponents for Lesnar would be. It was not noted who the other opponents for Lesnar would be that WWE officials have penciled in, but the likeliest challengers remain are Kevin Owens, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, and perhaps Randy Orton again. Those are possible challengers for WrestleMania. Now, there has been a groundswell for Brock to face either Samoa Joe or Shinsuke Nakamura, but those plans have likely been pushed back if they have even been discussed at all. You noticed... Where's my spot? That Goldberg's name was not mentioned as one of the marquee matches at WrestleMania. And that is because as of now, it appears that the match with Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series would be a one-time deal, and that would indicate no rematch with Lesnar and no final send-off match at WrestleMania aside from an expected induction into next year's WWE Hall of Fame class of 2017. Again, maybe it was Goldberg trying to throw people off. But during his interview with the coach, he said he would prefer to train for the rest of the year before considering a return to the ring. That gave some people the impression that he would rather wrestle one final match at WrestleMania. And who could blame Goldberg? Who could blame him? Survivor Series is less than 2 months away, so if he's not ready yet, he might not be ready for November at all. Vince McMahon has apparently felt for a while that a Lesnar-Shane match would draw better Goldberg on the biggest stage. Vince is also the person who was surprised that Sting was received so well when he finally made his WWE debut. So there's a chance that may have changed his perception of characters he did not create. So that's another huge story, but you read through all the potential opponents that it has here for Lesnar. Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, and perhaps Randy Orton again. Well, instead of, giving you, potential opponents, I'm going to click on this link right here of WWE News, that who has the WWE chosen? Let's see who they've chosen for WrestleMania 33, for God's sakes. Let's see. This is from WWE News. WWE has chosen opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33. This is written by Will McCormick. Just update that hit as of yesterday. So as you can see, that this week has been complete madness. Everything goes. So glad you're bearing with me, everybody. Wait, what's that? I think I had a pop-up. Hold on. Let me go back in. All right. Let's see. All right. Let's try this. Whoa. What is going on? Hold on. I'm going to have to read that one off my phone because that one just has pop-ups that don't want to cooperate, and I don't want to waste anyone's time. All right. Let me go on the Inquisitor here, and I'll check this out for you. So, Sean, while I'm pulling this up on my phone, what do you think about all this with Brock Lesnar so far?
Well, I think Lesnar versus Shane McMahon is, you know, careful what people wish for, because once that happens, Shane's out of here. Lesnar's going to destroy Shane. If Shane couldn't beat The Undertaker, there's no chance in hell he's beating Lesnar. He's going to get destroyed, and we won't see him on TV probably for another 6 years. So careful what you guys wish for, because it might just happen.
I'm glad you said that, Sean, and I have the article right here in front of me, right here, right now, as you can see. I'm going to show you guys just so you can see that I have this on my phone. I'm going to read it. There it is. That's the article that I was looking at, but they kept having pop-ups, so I can't read through their issues on the website there, but I'm going to give it to you right here, right now. The last time Brock Lesnar was seen on WWE programming was at WWE SummerSlam, where he tore Randy Orton apart of his own blood. By the way, this story is titled, WWE has chosen the opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33. Alright, so moving on. After winning the match by technical knockout, Lesnar left the Barclays Center with Orton's blood still on his hands as the WWE Universe chanted for Goldberg, hoping that their influence would convince the WWE officials to give them the rematch of a lifetime. All right. Now, over the past several days, Goldberg versus Lesnar has gone from a fun fantasy matchup to strong possibility to a near certainty that it will take place very soon on WWE programming. Goldberg's return to the WWE has been rumored for several months now, but another match for him has become much more serious over the past few weeks, especially with WWE wanting to push WWE 2K17 to become as successful as possible. All right. Most of the WWE Universe anticipated that if Goldberg versus Lesnar were to happen, it would take place at WrestleMania 33 next year in Orlando. However, WWE is looking to book their match for WWE Survivor Series rather than WrestleMania because there are already specific plans in place for Brock Lesnar on the grandest stage of them all, and that WWE officials are unwilling to change them for the match with Goldberg. Obviously, Brock Lesnar is coming off the brutal victory over Randy Orton at WWE SummerSlam, so WWE is going to give him the best opponent for his next match, which is expected to be at WWE Royal Rumble in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. It has reported that Kevin Owens is the likely opponent for the Beast Incarnate at that pay-per-view, and the expectation is that the match will be for the WWE Universal Championship. It is unclear if Brock Lesnar will become the WWE Universal Champion, but there have been several other potential situations for him to fall into that would lead him to WrestleMania without winning Raw's top prize. Not only that, but a title match would keep Lesnar out of the WWE Royal Rumble match. Then WWE has many choices for Brock's opponent for WrestleMania, but it just depends on the story that the WWE wants to tell. For example, it has been reported that the WWE is still trying to secure The Rock for WrestleMania, especially because it will be in Orlando this year, and WWE officials still have not given up on Brock versus Rock 2. But that could be a booking nightmare since there is not a positive result of the match that would help WWE in the long run. That would be the most lucrative match that WWE could book. They may have a different plan in place. Now, There have also been reports about WWE wanting to book Brock Lesnar versus Shane McMahon, which would continue to build off of the events at WWE SummerSlam. A match between those men would be intriguing, but it would also be difficult to book after Shane winning is not believable and Lesnar winning really does not do anyone a favor in the long term since no one has gotten a clean win over Lesnar since WrestleMania 29. Now Goldberg versus Lesnar, prize for WWE Survivor Series, but WWE doesn't want it for WrestleMania for several reasons. Unfortunately, their creative plans have not been revealed yet and likely won't be revealed until after WWE Royal Rumble in January. The powers that be must be planning something major if their plans are set in stone this early. A lot can happen over the next 7 months, but it looks like Brock Lesnar is going to be facing someone new on the grandest stage of them all. Everything will be revealed in time, but it is leaving the WWE Universe one simple question. Who would be the best opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33? Whew. A lot to take in, Sean. A lot to take in. That I could tell all of you guys out there with this whole situation. Like I said, it says in the report, basically, that WWE has indeed chosen the opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33. Now, they're not revealing who that opponent is as of yet. It could be someone new, but if it's not someone new that we haven't seen, it sounds to me like they're going toward Shane McMahon. I think it's going to be Shane through by what this report just said. Is because Shane McMahon and Brock Lesnar was originally planned for the Royal Rumble. And now I hear that they want to do something with possibly Kevin Owens and Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. If they do that, they're going to do something to get around it where Shane McMahon gets intertwined with Raw and, you know, everything starts going down and you have Brock and Shane at Mania. So that's why I'm thinking, just because it kind of makes logical sense right now when I heard that report that I think Shane McMahon is the lead challenger that I think they're going to go after unless they want to pull a surprise out of the hat. But I mean, if I was them, I would have stuck with Goldberg Lesnar, WrestleMania, get it done there. Survivor Series is premature. It's too quick to pull the trigger to get a match like that done, but you know, hey, it's Vince's call, it's his company, you know, he can do pretty much whatever he wants. Sean, all this apart, and I know you said before that I even started reading this story, you were like, you know, be careful what you wish for, because if it's Shane, and like it even did say in the report, Shane winning, you know, how's this going to do anyone any favors? Shane beating Lesnar is definitely not believable at all. And that's the one thing that turns me off about the Shane McMahon match. But how do you want to break down the conclusion of this huge news? I mean, I know it's not over yet. We're going to have plenty of stories to update the audience on in the weeks going forward. But to close out this explosive news and rumors segment. Man.
Well, yeah, my thoughts on the rumor, because that's just what it is. It is purely rumor at this point and speculation. My comments on that are, you know, do I look forward to a Shane McMahon-Brock Lesnar match? Not at all. I look forward to Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. I look forward to so much more, so much new talent that are actually deserving of these matches, not these part-timers that, you know, really don't deserve the spotlight. I think it's very unfortunate. I said it last year. I said it the year before. I think it's unfortunate when these part-time people come in And, you know, they think that they draw all this money when in reality, people are going to go to WrestleMania and people are going to watch WrestleMania no matter who's on it, where it is, or when it happens. It doesn't matter if you have Lesnar or Undertaker even, or Shane McMahon. People are going to watch WrestleMania and it's going to make money. And you should give that opportunity to build future talents like they did in the 80s and in the 90s. And you know what? Yeah, in the 2000s, you had little spots. But that's when it absolutely grew out of control with these legendary matches. WrestleMania is supposed to be a place to build storyline, to invest in your product, not, you know, jerk off all the past people that don't deserve this spot anymore.
Yeah, it's like they've been there and done that. They've been there and done that.
It's to invest in the future. I mean, what happened after Undertaker and Shane? Absolutely nothing. What happened after Triple H and Sting? Abso-frickin-lutely nothing. Enough is enough, and I'm not going to take this bullshit anymore. R.I.P. Owen Hart. Let's move forward. This is just absolutely ridiculous. They have all this new talent, and they don't get the opportunities that they get, and they wonder why the ratings are so bad. Because they don't have a story. They just do this crap because they're obsessed with themselves.
I totally agree, Sean. I'm with you 100%. I mean, do I love these nostalgic matches? Yes. But as you said, there's no story going forward. Once these matches are over, like once Lesnar and Goldberg's over, it's done. There's nothing to capitalize on. It's over.
What did WrestleMania used to be? The place that legends were born. Now WrestleMania is the place that legends die.
Yeah, it's almost like a send-off, you know, to legends past. Like, look at WrestleMania 32. You think we're ever going to see Mick Foley, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels in the ring at the same time again? No. WrestleMania 32. Do you think we're ever going to see Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match ever again? Odds are probably not. It's like, Sean, when you wrote that article for the website a while back talking about a WrestleMania 32 is like that change, you know, that hello to the future. It really does seem like that's what WrestleMania 32 was. Like that was the curtain call for all of the past that we love. But in now, 33, when you got all these guys from NXT coming up like Balor and all these big stars, now it's almost like forced. You got guys like Triple H that are going to push their way in to face Rollins, who's the number one draft pick. I mean, is it good to see? Yeah. But what's it going to accomplish in the end? I don't know.
All right. I think the only
legend that I feel has a right to keep coming back because it generates so much excitement for WrestleMania is The Undertaker. Because The Undertaker to me basically embodies the word WrestleMania. When you hear WrestleMania, you think of The Undertaker. You want to see The Undertaker in a match. And that's just how it is.
Not me so much, but I'm glad that you enjoy it. I'm happy for you on that part. But like I said, WrestleMania used to be a place where they brought all of their TV time from a year together and actually made it work so that the future was even better than the last year. And now it's as if WrestleMania is a spot where nothing absolutely makes zero sense. There is zero impact. It is not even referenced anymore. There is just zero impact on WrestleMania that is made, and it is nothing but a glorified circle jerk, and it's gotta change. If they wanna evolve, I feel so bad for the current roster because they're busting their asses to become legends, and it'll never happen with the way that the current WrestleMania system is set up. It will never happen.
You're absolutely right because they're never going to get that shining moment. No. If you got the legends constantly taking their moment every year. But the one match that I could definitely agree with, Sean, is the Undertaker and John Cena matchup. That match should have been done years ago. years ago. I don't know why they waited so long, but there is story behind it. Like when Cena was a rookie and the Undertaker went up to him in the back and shook his hand and, you know, told him that he's going to go on and do great things. Cena did go on and do great things. So it's like that match really does have a story behind it. And that match would culminate from over a decade ago.
We shall see, man, but it is way, way, way overdue for our No Mercy 2016 predictions. No Mercy is this Sunday night, tomorrow night, October 9th, 2016, live from the Golden One Center in Sacramento, California, USA. First matchup of the night, I believe it will be the pre-show match. Jack Swagger taking on his rival Baron Corbin in some singles match action. cringeworthy. As I said, absolutely zero intrigue in this match aside from hopefully building Baron Corbin's credibility somewhat. But if Jack Swagger is the person to do that, and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal wasn't, I don't know what's going to work. Baron Corbin's going to win that match, according to myself.
Well, I got to tell you, man. You said Baron Corbin's going to win according to yourself, and I got to agree with you. Explain why. To everybody, you know, listening here right now. Baron Corbin and Jack Swagger had a match on SmackDown, like Sean said, we'll get into, you know, during predictions, and it's prediction time. Swagger put in his Patriot lock, ankle lock on Corbin. Corbin's going like that to reach the ropes, going like that with his hand. And the referee called that a tap out. He called that a tap out. Basically screwed Baron Corbin, gave Swagger the submission victory, which was absolutely ridiculous. But the reason why I liked it is because it gave it a story for them to fight again. Rather than just, oh, why are these guys fighting? And fight, you know, for like third, fourth week in a row. This actually gives it sense. But now that they set it up this way, they got to counter on it and make it happen where Baron Corbin gets the win. Because if Jack Swagger gets the win, a man that has been irrelevant for like the past 6 years, absolutely irrelevant for the past 6 years, be the young upstart from NXT like Baron Corbin, Baron Corbin's career will be dead and buried if Swagger gets a clean win on Sunday. And I believe that WWE, they're too smart to do that. They can't be that stupid. Even though they made stupid mistakes, they just can't be that stupid. I say Baron Corbin gets the victory over Jack Swagger. He stands triumphant. He stands tall. And starts getting that nice little push going on uphill that he deserves.
All right, I like the sounds of that. Now, we also have the long-awaited debut on SmackDown of Curt Hawkins, who will be facing an opponent to be determined. So, not really too much to say on that because we don't know who his opponent is. But Curt Hawkins will be at No Mercy.
Well... Are you going to predict Curt Hawkins as the winner, Sean? Because I'm sure he's going to face it.
I can't predict a winner when you don't know the opponents.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and predict a winner just because I know what they're going to do. I know WWE's typical logic. There's no opponent name listed there because it's going to be a local jobber from Sacramento.
A local jobber on a pay-per-view? I don't know about that.
They've done it before. They have done it before with the brand exclusive pay-per-views back in like the 2004-2005 years. Wow. Like when Bobby Lashley debuted or something, I think they did that and had a local jobber. So I would not be surprised if they actually pull a local jobber from Sacramento and put him in the ring with Curt Hawkins.
Cool.
It would not surprise me at all. I think that's what they're going to do. If they don't do that, they'll give Curt Hawkins someone irrelevant like Kalisto just to freaking annihilate. Curt Hawkins is definitely on the rise. And for those of you that may be new to the product that don't know Curt Hawkins, let me tell you a little bit about who Curt Hawkins is. Hawkins used to be involved in a group called the Edgeheads, which were Edge's henchmen when Edge was married to Vicky Guerrero and the World Heavyweight Champion. They were two guys, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, long hair growing out. They used to dress like Edge. People thought it was like, you know, little, like Edge's brothers, you know, that were his henchmen, blah, blah, blah. But that's who Curt Hawkins is. That's where Zack Ryder came from. But they both had real long hair like Edge. Ryder cut his hair, so did Hawkins. For those of you that don't know, Ryder and Hawkins actually were WWE Tag Team Champions back when they were the Edgeheads. But Hawkins now, you know, he ends up getting released. He goes out on the independent circuit under the name Brian Myers, which I believe is his real name, and makes a good name for himself. And then the brand split happens. And here's SmackDown Live, WWE, you know, they reach out to him and want him back. Curt Hawkins is back. Like he says, face the facts, and he gives us all these facts. Curt Hawkins will beat whatever local jobber he faces or a low-card SmackDown superstar. Because that's what I think will happen. Curt Hawkins is going to look strong. I forgot who they had Curt Hawkins facing in the house shows. I wish I had that in front of me. Because I know they had Curt Hawkins facing someone on the SmackDown roster. And I know he was low on the totem pole. And boom, they just had him keep beating them at house shows. So Curt Hawkins will get the win. No doubt.
Well, we shall see. You know, having been a former WWE Tag Team Champion, it could be a curveball here. We could get a, you know, this could be WWE's attempt to fool us all. But I like the sounds of your logic for sure. And a little fun fact, according to Wikipedia, Curt Hawkins was trained by a friend of the show, Jason Knight's rival, Mikey Whipwreck. So, little fun fact there.
Awesome.
Now, back to business, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, earlier in the show, we announced that Becky Lynch is apparently injured. So her championship match with Alexa Bliss is seemingly canceled, according to WrestlingINC.com and according to Dave Meltzer. But, let's pretend the match is going to go on. And, you know, there's no denying how beautiful Alexa Bliss is and how over she is as a heel. She sort of reminds me as like a female Seth Rollins right now. She's just on fire. But, you know, as boring and as annoying as Becky Lynch is, I don't think SmackDown is ready to take the title off of her just yet, even though most would argue Alexa Bliss could do a lot more for the division entertaining wise and character-wise than boring Becky.
Sean, I totally agree with you. You basically took the words out of my mouth and said what I was going to say. I feel the same way about both these women. I think Alexa should get it, but Becky's going to end up retaining. She was SmackDown's first overall women's draft pick, and they're going to keep the title on her. They're keeping it on Becky. That's if the match would happen. By the way, You know what WWE is going for with Alexa Bliss's look, don't you?
Sexy as fuck. I don't know.
Did you ever see or hear of the movie Suicide Squad?
I heard of it, yeah, and I know I believe it was Margot Robbie's character she's probably going towards.
Yeah, Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Harley Quinn, that's
with
right.
The pigtails. She's the Harley Quinn of the WWE. That's what WWE is going for. And definitely Alexa Bliss. But yeah, for 5 feet tall to be the little firecracker that she is, she could light that division on fire. Like, SmackDown's women division is so much more superior than Raw's, even though Raw has my favorite lady, Sasha. I can't deny that SmackDown's women are in a much better place because they're being treated with care. Like, you know, you got the women's title match. You know, all this stuff. I don't know what WWE's going to do if Becky's hurt, if they're going to scrap the match, if they're going to add a different match. Now, I tell you what I would do if this match is indeed scrapped and the rumors are true. The time that they were going to be given, say if it was 20 minutes or 15, 20 minutes, whatever.
I doubt it.
The women got 20 minutes at Backlash. I know that. I know I'm going a little bit. All right. Let's say 10 minutes. Add 5 minutes onto the world title match. Add 5 minutes on to, that's what I would do. I would take the time and split it up rather than trying to put a squash match in between, but that's just me. But we'll see what they do.
Well, like you were alluding to before, SmackDown superiority in the women's division continues with another women's singles match. Carmella, the Long Island Beauty, is taking on Nikki Bella. So Nikki Bella and Carmella, that kind of rhymes. I think Nikki Bella's role as a veteran now is going to come into full effect. I think she's here to put Carmella over. Nikki Bella does not need this win. You know, she's the longest reigning Divas champion in history. It's time to pass the torch over to a woman that desperately needs a character change or an adjustment or something. I mean, this Carmella is, she's superior in her abilities, but nothing is going to make this garbage character work without Enzo and Big Cass. I mean, I'm not buying her as a heel. Why are we supposed to like the other half of her faction over on Raw as the super baby faces that they are? But now all of a sudden we're supposed to hate Carmella? I mean, give us something to hate. Hitting Nikki Bella is not going to make me hate her. It's going to turn me on. I'm going to go with Carmella getting the win.
I'm gonna dive into this and, gonna pick this apart some for all of you. Definitely agree with Sean and his point that he had to say there. Definitely agree. But, this is what I see going on here. Nikki Bella's, role as a veteran is going into full effect. Carmella's going to get the win. And now here's where I would go with Carmella's character. This is where I'm going to pick it apart. First of all, Natalya's the worst heel. I believe even worse than Carmella, but Carmella's right up there. Between Carmella and Natalya as heels, they both need to be switched immediately, ASAP.
Carmella as a heel because can work. Now, obviously, Natalya is a lost cause, but Carmella just needs an angle change. I mean, they're just very lazy in building her heel character. It's almost as like they're, okay, go out there and be a bad girl now. Like no substance, just a layout. I think Carmella could be a great heel, an awesome heel, but they don't know how to do it.
I agree, but the reason why I think she's such a bad heel now...
They need to have her trash Enzo and Cass and totally just become a badass.
Exactly, and you know what? This is what you do. The only way you could salvage this heel run right now with Carmella, right now, she's an awful heel there with Natalya, like I said, because she needs that character change, this whole Enzo and Cass thing. It's almost like I got a female version of Enzo and Cass coming out to this music, you know, that's supposed to be babyface-like. about, you know, being fabulous and still doing like her moonwalk and stuff. It's like, no. Now, how do you salvage this? I'll tell you how. You have Carmella beat Nikki Bella, make Nikki Bella submit and tap out. You have Carmella going around the SmackDown women's locker room, kind of like what AJ Styles did, saying how she's the face of the women's division on SmackDown. Now she took down the longest reigning Divas champ, blah, 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 blah. You have her do that for about a month until people just get sick of it. Then at Survivor Series, you do a backstage segment. You don't even book her on the card, really, if you don't have to. But you do a backstage segment with her, Enzo and Cass. You got Enzo come up and be like, hey, Carmella, how you doing? And Cass be like, hey, how you doing? And then she would look at him and be like, look at Cass. Like, really? You guys? What do you want me to do with you? You guys see what I've been doing? I beat Nikki Bella and became the face of the women's division and became a success. Well, you guys are over there on Raw and you're doing nothing but failing. You became failures and you've been losing to Primo and Epico, the shining stars. I would expose it. I would expose how, like, what failures the WWE is turning Enzo and Cass into. Dropping matches to the Shining Stars, all this and that. How they're still doing the same old gimmick, they never changed. That's why their careers are where they are, because they're still doing the same old shtick. And that's when you separate Carmella from it, and that's when she can excel. Now that's a way to salvage it. If they don't salvage it, Carmella's gonna be in trouble. But that's what they gotta do. But step one starts Sunday night. Carmella has to beat Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella, you know, she's the veteran now. As Sean said, it's her time to start putting the women over. Carmella would be a great woman to put over. But then WWE has to do right in the following month to make it right by her character to start transitioning. And that's a way to do it, like I just stated. But Carmella gets the win over Nikki Bella Sunday and Oh Mercy.
Dude, that was superior booking.
Thanks, man. But I'm calling it like I see it. That's exactly how I book it, because that's a way to salvage it. We need to salvage this whole thing right now and right that wrong. If they don't do that, then she's going to be dead in the water.
The SmackDown after Survivor Series where, you know, like you said, she's backstage. She, you know, just totally disowns Enzo and Cass and, you know, after a nice double bitch slap to both of them, she has like this character reinvention, sort of like the Usos had this week. That would be my little add on there.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly what you do. New attire, new music. Just, she comes out with her nose up in the air, looking around, eyes in the crowd, and think like, who the fuck are you, dude? You know who I am? I'm Carmella. I'm the shit around here. You're just a fan. You're so beneath me. That's how they can make her character.
Now, over in the tag team division on SmackDown, we will have Heath Slater and Rhino, the WWE SmackDown tag team champions, taking on the newly reinvented Uso brothers. You know, I gotta be honest. I'm not a big fan of Heath Slater or Rhino. I think it's funny. I think it's, you know, interesting and quirky, but I'm not a fan of either of these teams, to be honest. So for me, this is like a bathroom break match. In all honesty, I think the tag team division is being severely underserved by this match on No Mercy, but it's what they gave us. So it's what I'm going to have to predict, that I believe the Usos are going to win, and you know, probably at Survivor Series, they're going to defend the championships against American Alpha, hopefully, because my God, I mean, Let's get real. Heath Slater and Rhino as the tag team champions. If you told me that 6 months ago, I would have said you are higher than an effing kite. I mean, it makes zero logic. The Usos versus American Alpha makes a hell of a lot more logic. So I'm going to go with the Usos, the newly reinvented bad boy Usos as the tag team champions.
Exactly, Sean. You know what? That's really the only logic left here. Like, I'll explain to you why they did what they did, because I think I do have a little logic standpoint as to why Heath Slater and Rhino were put into this position. Well, first off, WWE started this whole thing by having Heath Slater go undrafted. That was number one. Bouncing around between Raw and SmackDown, trying to get a contract, until Shane McMahon finally threw him a bone and said, you know, you find a partner that'll tag with you. You gotta win the tag title tournament at No Mercy, Backlash, blah, blah, blah. And it happened. And surprisingly, they got over, and they got over big. They're like one of the top babyface teams on SmackDown Live right now. And that's how it is. And do I like Slater and Rhino? Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. I think, you know, they did okay, but I think they served their purpose. They got the angle done where they got Slater's contract. They gave him a run with the belt that he hadn't had in a long time. I get it. But the reason why Heath Slater and Rhino were put into the mix to be crowned the tag champs was for a very simple reason. Because I feel that WWE wasn't just going to crown American Alpha right off the bat. They wanted to try to make it where it has an effect on fans that, like, you know, we love American Alpha. We really want to see them get the titles. So they wanted to turn American Alpha basically being the uncrowned, you know, tag champs to being the chasers for the tag titles. And the only way to do that right now is when American Alpha got hurt and taken out, you know, because they were supposed to face Slater and Rhino. That led to Backlash having the Usos against the Hype Bros. The Usos won. They went on to face Slater and Rhino in the finals. Slater and Rhino get the win over the Usos. So they become tag champs. The Usos are, entitled to their rematch. They face American Alpha because Chad Gable came back from his MCL sprain. So people are thinking American Alpha's going to get, you know, a little bit of redemption here. The Usos end up taking on American Alpha again, getting a win to get the rematch against Slater and Rhino at No Mercy. And that leads us to right now. People are like, wow, American Alpha got screwed over twice. You know, we really want to see Chad Gable and Jason Jordan wear those damn tag straps already. See, they're getting the fans invested, which I like. And what they could do now, Rhino go down to the Usos. Usos get the win right away. Boom. SmackDown sometime in maybe end of October, like before or after Hell in a Cell, you could have a rematch with Slater and Rhino against the Usos on SmackDown Live. Usos will get the win again, finally put that rivalry to bed. Then here comes American Alpha on the Road to Survivor Series. American Alpha, the Usos, tag titles. American Alpha gets a big moment on one of the biggest pay-per-view stages, and they get their first ever tag team championship. It'd be the best way to go. So this storyline with Slater, Rhino, and now the Usos stepping in, all this was made to basically give American Alpha that crowning moment to put them at the top and to get fans so invested in them that, you know, they're just ready for American Alpha to wear that gold. So Usos win over Slater and Rhino.
Okay, now on to some more singles action. Randy Orton, the Viper, will be taking on the totally defeated at WrestleMania Bray Wyatt in a singles match. Really torn with this one. Yet again, it's a match that, does anything really come out of it? Don't get me wrong, it's going to be a good match. I'm speaking storyline wise.
Yeah.
Nothing really, you know, I don't see anything, because we've been down this road with Bray Wyatt at least 20 times. He takes on these big names and nothing happens. You know, he just creeps up on some next victim a month later and then nothing happens again. And I don't see that changing. I think Bray Wyatt really needs an shot of adrenaline or steroids or something, rocket fuel, in his character. If he really wants to be this menacing character, he has to pick up a win. He has to be on a roll. He has to study The Undertaker as if his life depended on it. Because let me tell you something, Bray Wyatt. You're not going to be around the length that The Undertaker was unless you really drop this boring angle of tedious week after week. Ooh, I'm so scary. It's like, no, The Undertaker was scary because you believed it. You're not believable right now, Bray Wyatt. And I know if you had your choice, you would have won those WrestleMania matches. But let me tell you something. If you delivered better, if you said, you know what, I'm taking these shackles off and I'm going to take these risks. And if I get fired, oh well, I'm sure I'll have a decent indie career. If you do that, the sky is your limit. WWE is giving you the ball. You just have to shoot the basket. Now, realistically, who do I believe will win this match? It's gotta be Randy Orton. But ideally, I would hope it would be Bray Wyatt because, like I said, something's gotta give or nothing is gonna be gotten for Mr. Wyatt.
Is your final prediction, Randy?
I don't know. I'll let you go first.
All right, because I got a theory they're going to do. Tuesday on SmackDown, there was a reference to Sister Abigail about, you know, how Wyatt was saying for Sister Abigail to come save him. And, you know, obviously she did when Randy Orton came back, you know, to where he had Bray Wyatt locked up and Bray Wyatt was gone with just the rocking chair there sitting, you know, in an empty room. I got to think of all this. I've heard rumors last month, and it was shortly after SummerSlam, when there were rumors of Randy Orton taking time off, you know, late into the fall because his wife and him are expecting a baby. And, you know, so Randy Orton could be there with the, you know, with his newborn baby for, you know, a little bit and take him off the road. So, I mean, if his newborn baby isn't born yet, then I could see him taking time to step away just to be with his family. That's one theory. Another theory is, which I'm not happy about at all, and I didn't report on it because it's something that, honestly, I couldn't find the story, but I read it earlier today. And it's a rumor that I guess Eva Marie, might come forward as Sister Abigail. And
I did hear that, there were rumors of a rebranding of Eva Marie.
Well, she still has her black hair. If you look on her Instagram, she has not really changed her hair color, you know, back to red. And, you know, there were rumors swirling around earlier today that she's going to be the one to be Bray Wyatt's Sister Abigail. And it's like, Sean, I'm happy you're at that point because at least I don't have to see her wrestle. She could just be in the corner of Bray Wyatt where she needs to be and be a valet that way, but even her with dark hair, I don't think she has that look to be Sister Abigail. Like, honestly, if you want to know who has the look to be Sister Abigail, Paige. Paige is the one that would be the perfect Sister Abigail, if you ask me. Yeah, I don't know how you feel about it.
Okay, I mean, we could talk about Sister Abigail until the cows come home. But this has nothing to do with Bray Wyatt, where he needs to be. Sister Abigail, whoop-de-frickin-do, that's the lamest shit I ever heard. No matter who it is. The Undertaker didn't need some person or, you know, some lady to come in and, you know, define his character. He did it himself.
You're right.
That's what Bray Wyatt has to do. No matter what WWE wants to do. I mean, this is just garbage.
Well, I think no matter what, if Sister Abigail makes a debut or not, you know, or if maybe Luke Harper comes back, I don't know. I gotta, like, alright, I feel like Randy Orton's gonna win just because, I mean, of course, you know, Randy Orton has the bigger star power, he's the bigger draw. But then again, is indeed pregnant and they're expecting a child and Orton is scheduled to take time off like it was reported a month ago. This could be the time. Reason why Bray Wyatt had to eat a loss to Kane at Backlash. And the reason why I'm thinking that Bray Wyatt could finally get a win. I don't know if it'll be fair or not though. Luke Harper could interfere. Sister Abigail could debut and interfere. I would prefer for Bray Wyatt to win the match on his own because that would start solidifying his character, but just can't help but think it's going to end in a, you know, a dirty way, you know, not clean, but I think Bray Wyatt is going to get the win because let's face it, Sean, Orton could take the time off and spend it, you know, with his pregnant wife before she has the newborn baby. If that indeed is a true rumor, Orton could step away. And, you know, really a loss to Bray Wyatt will not hurt Randy Orton. You know, Randy Orton's going to be fine. He's an established legend. But Bray Wyatt, I think, is to the point already, the watered down and has got beaten time and time again. On his last leg. Like, if he does not beat Randy Orton by hook or by crook on Sunday night, I think you could start shoveling the dirt on top of his career because he'll be 6 feet under. So, I mean, for that point, and for the sense of urgency, and for Randy Orton possibly stepping away and with his family, I gotta go with Bray Wyatt to get the victory over Randy Orton in this match.
Yeah, I'm leaning in that direction. I'm thinking Bray Wyatt will get them. For what it's worth. We are now going to our semi-main event. The Miz, your Intercontinental Champion, will be taking on the challenger, Dolph Ziggler, in a title versus career match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. If Dolph Ziggler loses this match, his decade-long career in the WWE will come to an end, and he must retire. Now, The Miz, your Intercontinental Champion, of course, will be joined by his lovely wife, Maryse. Bonjour, salut, merci. I think this is a really tough one again. But at least this one has some structure and some intrigue and some damn good wrestling. And you know what? I've gained a lot of respect for The Miz over the last year. I remember, you know, 14 and 15, I just couldn't stand the guy. I think Maryse has added leaps and bounds to his credibility and to his whole appeal as a character on the television show, and even probably, you know, boosted his abilities in the ring. When you have this beautiful wife where, you know, every man in the arena is jealous of you, you know, I think it definitely adds a spark in your step. And I, you know, with all the Dolph Ziggler rumors aside that, you know, he's going to be a comedian or whatnot, with all of that aside, because it's purely rumor, we all know by now that WWE is capable of anything. No matter what we hear ahead of the pay-per-view, they're capable of changing anything if the price is right. I gotta stick with it here and say The Miz is going to retain his Intercontinental Championship and Dolph Ziggler is going to retire. Now, I don't think Dolph's gonna be gone forever. I think maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years max. And he'll come back and, you know, be like a Jericho and put over some new guys and, you know, have a hellacious return with one of the biggest crowd pops in a long time. So I think Ziggler's going to go away and do some stuff that he wants to do and get out of his system, but he'll be back. But as far as No Mercy goes, The Miz will continue to be the Intercontinental Champion, and we will see much, much more of my love, Maurice.
Sean, I gotta tell you, like, you pretty much hit it on the head with that whole old prediction that you just made, and everybody knows how I feel. If you go back to, like, my first videos that I made on this channel, like even some of my first news and rumors reports back in early 2014 when there were rumors of Dolph Ziggler being paired up with Ric Flair, one thing I always said was, deserves a big push. I was always behind Dolph Ziggler. I always defended Dolph Ziggler on this show from day one. And here we are 2.5 years later, and Dolph Ziggler's looking down the barrel at the end of his WWE career. Now, does this hurt me? I mean, yeah, you know, I'm kind of sad about it because I've always been a huge Dolph Ziggler fan. I love Dolph Ziggler. He is one of the greatest in-ring performers. I feel that Dolph Ziggler is the most underrated. I'm not saying one of the. Dolph Ziggler is the most underrated performer in WWE history. Just for the fact he is basically like a modern day Shawn Michaels, and yet they wanted to use Ziggler as glorified mid-carder to glorified jobber status, which is completely sickening. Now, as I reported last week on the podcast, but like Sean said, anything can change leading up to a pay-per-view for the right price. I reported that Ziggler, you know, is considering doing a career in comedy, also doing, you know, like being a, what is it, a Fox Business, like an analyst on Fox Business as well. So he's got a couple things, I guess, that he has lined up if he's going to walk away from WWE, which, you know, it's okay. He could go and get it out of his system, like Sean said, and come back. But there was another upside to that coin that may happen with Dolph Ziggler that I read about over the last week, and that is that WWE could also make the decision to still have Ziggler lose, bring him back in about 6 months, or maybe even after WrestleMania 33, 6 months to a year, repackage him with a whole new gimmick, going and then light the WWE on fire, because I guess the WWE might even be feeling that he needs something more than just this Dolph Ziggler gimmick to get him over, which, you know, the way WWE has damaged him over the years, time and time again, it's like, come on, you know, they need to do something. So I hope that Dolph Ziggler does indeed stay in the WWE. But, you know, we'll see what happens. If I had to go for a prediction as far as who I feel is going to win on Sunday night,
Wow, what a bad time to lose Big T's audio just because he was right about to say his prediction, but we will get him back here as soon as possible and you will hear what Big T has to say about the Miz and Ziggler career versus champion match. Let me just give some understanding here. You know, Dolph Ziggler has probably one of the biggest fan followings for a person who has his type of position. You know, so many people love him. Oh, we got Big T back.
All right. Do you want to finish off what you were saying, bud?
No, that's okay. Go for it.
Okay. But as I was going to say before I got cut off, is undoubtedly for Sunday night, I feel that, that Dolph Ziggler is going, you know, he's going to be stepping away for a while. The Miz is definitely going to get the win. I feel that right now, the role that the Miz is on, there's no way title off him. This is two Cleveland, Ohio boys, you know, believe it or not, representing Ohio that are going to be going at it in this match. So I'm excited for it. I mean, I'm really looking forward to what this match is going to have in store. And I got to tell you, Sean, I could not be happier. And I really do think go on. I don't even know who's going to beat him for the title at this point. I really don't. But I know you were starting to talk about Dolph Ziggler, so I'll let you finish up with that.
No, I mean, I was just sort of trying to put him over and say, you know what, he has a hell of a lot of good friends and fans, and, you know, sometimes that's all that's the best you could do in this world. That's the best you could hope for, and shame on WWE for not capitalizing on that situation. Now, on to No Mercy 2016's main event. The WWE World Heavyweight Champion AJ Styles will be competing in triple threat match action here at No Mercy. The former world champion Dean Ambrose, as well as the 15-time WWE champion John Cena, Ambrose, Styles, triple threat for the world championship. Let me just add on to this. If John Cena were to win this match, he would be tied with Ric Flair in WWE's records as the most winning world champion in history of the WWE. And if AJ Styles wins this match, it's quite an incredible feat for someone who has been on the roster less than a year to defeat not one, but two former WWE champions in a triple threat matchup. And of course, Dean Ambrose, if he were to win this match, very impressive to defeat two absolute icons of the wrestling world as John Cena and AJ Styles in one match. This is a WrestleMania caliber match. This, you know, this is it. I mean, this is some good stuff we're going to get here. I might be down a little bit on Dean Ambrose because I think he has been a bit watered down, maybe a little bit uncomfortable with his position in the company. I'm sure he wouldn't agree with that, but I'm just saying how I feel as it comes off on the television and as I seen it with my own two eyes at Battleground in Dean Ambrose's last.
Oh, we lost Sean again. Hold on. Let me get Sean back. I'll try to call him so he knows that he dropped out here on us. As we were just getting him in. Hold on here. Let's get him back on. See Sean. There he is.
Well, fuck Google. I mean, that's just annoying.
Yeah, I always call you right away because I know if I don't, you're probably going to read the or say your whole thing and then have to do it all.
Yeah, I did. Where did I get cut off?
You were talking about Dean Ambrose in Battleground, I believe, when you got cut off.
Well, yeah, Dean Ambrose, you know, I saw him a bit watered down and not to what I believe is full potential at Battleground with his Shield brethren. And now less than 2 months later, maybe a little over 2 months later, we have another opportunity for Dean Ambrose to really solidify himself as a future icon of wrestling. I said it before, I'll say it again. Anytime we get a match with John Cena and AJ Styles, I get chills. I just get absolute chills. And I think any wrestling fan honestly does. And now you add Dean Ambrose into the mix. It's a WrestleMania caliber match in a run-of-the-mill October pay-per-view here in 2016. I don't see AJ losing it, honestly. I see it to be an incredible match, hopefully. I hope WWE gives this match the allotted time as a result of Becky Lynch's injury in its entirety. I don't want the IC Championship match to get any more time. I think this one really deserves it. This deserves every second of the show, in all honesty. And let me just be honest, if John Cena wins this, I'll be really happy for him. He deserves to be, the most winning champ in WWE history, as does AJ Styles. You know, maybe TNA and ROH records will be transferred over to WWE one day. At the rate of it, I believe they will. Sorry, Billy Corgan, to burst your bubble, but you're not fixing this. So all in all, AJ Styles retains just because he's my favorite in the match. I'm a big fan of him, but it's going to be one hell of a No Mercy main event. And all three of these men are going to deliver the best they can. Hopefully, hopefully Dean Ambrose really gets some, you know, some spunk, some, spark in his step as a result of being in the ring. Could you imagine, you know, oh, hey, Dean Ambrose, you're going to be in a match with AJ Styles and John Cena this, tomorrow at No Mercy. Like, could you imagine as a wrestler, as a wrestling fan, how incredible of an opportunity that is for Dean Ambrose? And all in all, I hope it picks up his game. That's all I want for Dean Ambrose from this. I want John Cena to obviously, you know, figure out what he wants to do and where he's going to be. But I want Styles to retain and I want Ambrose to, to fill up his engine.
I can definitely see where you're coming from. And I don't blame you for picking AJ Styles, John. To retain the title. I mean, I have a couple of theories here on what can happen. And I'm going to give you guys a little booking 101 on how this could be broken down from two sides of the spectrum. Now, it's like Sean said, this really does feel like a WrestleMania caliber thing. Like, I feel like we're on the eve of something special. I can feel it in the air. I feel like we're on the eve of like one of the big four pay-per-views out of the year. And this goes to show you how great SmackDown is doing getting their product. And, you know, I gotta tell you guys, I want to put this in the right way so that you guys, you know, can understand and, let's see. Because I don't want to confuse anybody here when I say this. Well, I'm just going to dive right in and say it. Think of it this way. AJ Styles, I think, is the favorite horse in the race to win right now. He is the favorite horse in the race. Do I think he's going to win? It's like, a part of me is telling me, I think AJ Styles has this. I think AJ Styles can very well do this. As far as to who AJ Styles would beat, though, that's the question. Are you going to have Ambrose be the fall guy? Or are you going to have Cena put over basically AJ again? And here's another thing. It kind of plays into the ripple effect of what is going to happen. Now, is John Cena going to leave for American Grit to film season 2 of American Grit after No Mercy? Or is he going to leave after Survivor Series? This is where things get conflicting here, because you could take this one of two ways. If Cena's gonna leave right after No Mercy, then I feel that AJ Styles, because there's no other way to go about it. Dean Ambrose, it's just like Sean said, I love Dean Ambrose, but he's been watered down lately, he's been losing momentum lately, plus there's rumors of Dean Ambrose taking a vacation for a couple months, possibly after No Mercy, because Dean Ambrose, as we all know, has really gotten no days off since he came up on the main roster with his Shield brothers back at Survivor Series 2012. So you're looking 4 years straight on the road. Dean Ambrose is probably getting a little burned out, so I wouldn't be surprised if those rumors are true. So already I'm looking at Ambrose as out of it. I don't really consider Ambrose a threat to win it all. I think Ambrose is just there, but will Ambrose add his flavor and make this match special? Yeah, I definitely agree. I think he will. Now, as far as to the two people I think could win, AJ, I think he'll definitely win if Cena is going to film American Grit, like I said. But if Cena's going to remain on the roster to film the second season of American Grit after Survivor Series, think of what this could do for Survivor Series. Think of this. If you were running the business and you were to book this, you could do it one of two ways. Do you do AJ Styles, say AJ Styles beats Dean Ambrose at No Mercy, retains the title. Cena says, he didn't get beat. It was Ambrose that got beat. You have AJ and Cena for the title at Survivor Series. AJ wins and Cena goes out. Boom, done. Or if you could go about this another way, is sticking around until after Survivor Series. Do you have John Cena beat Dean Ambrose, become the champion, and then have AJ Styles obsessed with the fact and so incensed and upset. And he'd be like, you never beat me, Cena. Just like at SummerSlam, I beat you. You didn't beat me last night. You beat Dean Ambrose. I could see AJ Styles throwing a fit. And then it leads into this huge main event at Survivor Series. Styles versus John Cena at Survivor Series in the main event.
Which,
but think of this.
By the way, would be leagues better than Lesnar Goldberg.
Oh yeah. Now think of how this gets even better, Sean, for AJ Styles. I even found a way that for AJ Styles, losing the title at No Mercy would actually be better for him in the long run. Think of this. You have that match at Survivor Series. Then it turns into Cena being the 16-time champ, right? He's tied with Ric Flair. He's the most winningest champion in history. Well, how would it look going into Survivor Series? You put AJ Styles against the 16-time champ. Styles beats the 16-time world champ clean at Survivor Series. That puts AJ Styles up over even that much more.
Yeah. Audio. Well, while we wait for Big T to get back here with us, currently watching, you know, in some unrelated news, I'm watching the Weather Channel and Savannah, Georgia is absolutely devastated. Absolutely devastated by Hurricane Matthew, and for any of our listeners affected by the recent Hurricane Matthew, we love you and we just support and wish you all the best dealing with this weather disaster down there in Florida. Big T, I'm just, I don't know if you're back yet, but yep, I could hear you. I just was sending, I was just sending some good wishes down to our listeners and viewers in the path of Hurricane Matthew, and we hope you're all okay.
I feel the same way. Thank you for doing that while I was dealing with this audio issue. But yeah, prayers with everybody down in Florida and anybody who's in the bay of Hurricane Matthew. Hope that all of you are safe. But Sean, like I was stating before the audio got cut, do at this standpoint, because you could make AJ Styles that much bigger by him losing the title and having him win it back.
I gotta be honest with you. I think AJ Styles, like I look at it this way. AJ Styles has the potential to be John Cena's greatest rivalry of all time, as does John Cena have the potential to be AJ Styles' greatest rivalry of all time. I think that this is WWE's saving grace. The fact that they have two absolute gods of wrestling at these stages of their career, respectively, with the abilities that they have, with the fans that they have, with the worlds that they collide upon. This is WWE's saving grace, and I'm thinking if WWE were smart, you know, we have Cena and Undertaker maybe this year at WrestleMania, but if not, for some unknown reason, Cena and Styles could be even better. I mean, of course we all want Cena and Undertaker one time at WrestleMania, but like I was talking about earlier, how much is too much when it comes to these, you know, people coming back that don't really belong there anymore? I know that's bold. I know people are going to hate me for that, but that's just the way I feel. The Undertaker, you want to belong there? Well, then you'd be on the road every single week with everyone else. You think you, okay, you've paid your dues. I understand and respect that entirely. But are you really doing anyone any favors when, you refuse to lose to Shane McMahon and you throw a little bitch fit and you don't even have that great of matches anymore? No. So Cena and Undertaker in a fantasy world, okay. Cena and AJ Styles in a real world wrestling match that is going to stand the test of time and define this generation of wrestling, abso-fucking-lutely.
I gotta tell you, man, I don't have any arguments there. I mean, I would prefer Cena and Undertaker at this stage of the game just because I've been wanting it for so long. But if it's something that absolutely can't happen, I would be down for AJ Styles and Cena to take the ring at any given moment. But I mean, you know, with that, see, with these two possible scenarios, if you really break it down at the possibilities that can happen, that's why I'm so torn as to exactly who's going to win this match and what way it's going to go. Like, after hearing these details that I presented on the table to you, Sean, are you still sticking with AJ to walk out of there with the title?
Well, I mean, you definitely, like I said, we could always count on Big T for logical and superior fantasy booking. Most of the time, it's not even fantasy. It comes to be true. I think, you know, maybe Big T is a secret operative for the WWE sometimes. I'm still trying to figure it out. But until I figure that out.
I'm telling you. Hand to God right there.
That's what a secret operative would say. So I don't know. No, in all honesty, yeah, I'm going to stick with AJ Styles. I definitely respect and enjoy your superb outlook. But for me personally, I'm just going with what I want, not really with what I think at this point. So I'm sticking with Styles, and I'm sure everybody has been long waiting. Your prediction, Big T, for Sunday night. Who do you have as walking out as the WWE champion?
Oh, man. I know. All of it's on me. Everybody's waiting for it, I know. And
Or, who did Vince tell you is going to win in your last secret meeting?
Nothing, man. Vince has never told me anything. But I am going to tell you. For Cena to win and drop the title, you know, it's just, oh man. Either way, Ambrose is going to be the fall guy. Cena's not getting pinned or submit, and Styles is not getting pinned or submit. Ambrose is the fall guy, period. In whatever way that this goes, Ambrose is the fall guy. And if Cena does turn out to be the fall guy, that means he's leaving to film American Grit. But I think Ambrose is going to be the fall guy either way coming out of this. Wow. Any of those two scenarios can happen. The thing is, I just don't know for sure if John Cena is going to be a part of Survivor Series. And if so, what is going to happen? I mean, it's a very, you know, it's a very touchy situation. But it's like I could definitely see AJ Styles walking out with that title. I could see Cena walking out with that title. It's, you know, it's a toss-up, but I'm just going to throw that coin up in the air. Going to let it fall because I'm so torn. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, then again, don't forget, this is one more fun fact. John Cena is breaking the Undertaker's record on Sunday for most pay-per-view main events, which I believe is 67 or something around there. So Cena's going to hold the record. This is his record breaker for main events in pay-per-views of all time. Closing out a show. But, man, with all that and just with, you know, with Cena, we don't know what his schedule is. I mean, Cena and Styles to do Survivor Series would be a great thing, but they might even do Team Cena, Team Styles. They might not even bring the belt in the equation.
We do know Cena's schedule. He has, American Grit has been signed for a second season.
Okay.
I mean, that is concern.
Just a matter of when he's going to take the time off now at this point. And it's like if you pull another thing into the equation, it could be Team Styles, Team Cena. I mean, we don't know. It's all pure speculation. But I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that AJ Styles is going to walk out as your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, retain it, and AJ is going to be your champ for the foreseeable future, possibly up to the Royal Rumble, maybe even past that. Going with AJ Styles here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was absolutely awesome. That was our No Mercy predictions for 2016. So,
and Sean, yeah? What do you rating for this show is going to be as far as your expectations?
Well, that's... I don't really like doing that. You know that, I don't want to set any standards before I go into it because You know, I want to enjoy the show without having to think about what I said, you know? I mean, it's impossible to tell. I don't like that game.
Yeah.
We lost your audio. But the reason why I don't really get into what I think will happen, because then I'll feel like an idiot if I was totally wrong. So, you know, I guess it'll be I'll just say this. I'm pretty confident it will be a damn good show. While we wait to get Big T back on here with us on our episode number 22 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, I will give you a friendly reminder to subscribe, like, comment, share, do everything you got to do to make sure that Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast is around for episode 2,222. It's all up to you guys. We're here for you, and you got to be here for us too. So we got Big T back. Let's
Can you hear me?
Yep, we're going to get ready for
Well, I'm going to tell everybody before you get into it, I'm predicting the show to be a 10 out of 10 up. And if they totally stink bomb this show, you know I'll be the first one on here to pretty much rip it apart. I mean, as far as your schedule is going for everybody that's listening on the YouTube end of it, do you think you're going to be able to come on for No Mercy review on Sunday night?
Well, you know, typically I just save that for the podcast, but I really don't know right now what I'm going to be doing Sunday night. I know there is the second presidential debate. I might not get to see No Mercy live.
I completely forgot about the presidential debate. I didn't know they were going at it on Sunday. It's like they purposely want to go head to head with WWE. I did it with Raw. Now they're doing it with No Mercy. It's like, come on, you know, it's almost like Donald Trump wants to sabotage Vince McMahon purposely or something. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. They're buddies. But yeah, I mean, if, you know, I'm probably going to be watching No Mercy maybe on my laptop and have the debate on at the same time, but I really don't know. So I'm not going to tell you, you know, one thing or the other because I'm not sure. So, but I could tell you one thing. I'll be here for episode number 23 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast.
Well, that's going to be awesome. We'll have plenty to break down then, especially if No Mercy is going to be the event that they have the card shaped up to be. You know what I mean?
Definitely, man. So, are you ready to head over into our time machine like we do every single week here on the best wrestling podcast the universe has ever known?
I'm ready.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Cage Side Seats has yet again provided us with some very valuable information.
It's for today in wrestling history, am I right?
You are absolutely correct. Now, luckily, we're 3 minutes before tomorrow, so I'm technically able to start this show off as October 8th, 2016.
Are you going to give us a little bonus for October 9th since it's No Mercy and it's a special pay-per-view?
No. So, they don't have that published yet, so it's not possible. This day in wrestling history, October 8th, 10-8, Stone Cold Six Pack is the title. Let's get to it. I know what this is. 15 years ago today, can you believe it? The year was 2001, and on WWE Monday Night Raw, live from Indianapolis, Indiana, October 8th, 2001, Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Kurt Angle to win the WWF Championship for the sixth and, I believe, final time in his long career. and legendary career.
You're right about that, Sean. I remember watching it at home like it was yesterday. Did you ever see that match?
I definitely did. I was watching that live, and I remember it, like you said, like it was yesterday.
I mean, you know, tapped out to Angle and Unforgiven, you know, a couple weeks beforehand, which, you know why WWE went that route? Because, you know, 9/11 happened, and, you know, it's sad that it did, but 9/11 happened, so to bring the country up, you know, they wanted to put the belt around the American hero, Kurt Angle. And what better way to do it in his hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? And the WWE indeed did that. And, you know, his reign lasted like, what, 2 weeks? I think it was like 15 days or something like that. And then you didn't see or hear from Austin until he came out for that rematch. And they...
Well, we lost Big T's audio. While we rebound here, let's talk about what else happened here on that episode of Monday Night Raw from Indianapolis, Indiana, back in October of 2001, October 8th, of course, to be more specific. On the undercard, the Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff, they defeated Booker T and Test to win the WCW World Tag Team Championships. And 14 years ago today, back in the year 2002, Lillian Garcia released her debut single, Shout, on Universal Records, not WWE's music label, SmackDown Records. The move brings further speculation that the label will be shut down. It indeed was, but reborn as WWE Music Group in 2006, a subsidiary of Warner Music. So 14 years ago, Lillian Garcia released her debut single, and I do believe we got Big T back in the house. Well, I can't hear Big T still. So, let's talk about some history here. You want to talk history? Ten years ago today, October 8th, 2006, WWE presented No Mercy. Of course, that'll be happening again tomorrow. From the RBC Center in Raleigh, North Carolina, about 9,000 were in attendance, with just 197,000 homes watching on pay-per-view. By the way, that was down from 230,000 for the 2005 edition and the second lowest buy rate for a WWE show that year, second only to the infamous December to Dismember pay-per-view presented by ECW. The show featured the much-hyped debut of MVP. In a pre-show dark match, Jimmy Wang Yang defeated Sylvan. Matt Hardy defeated Gregory Helms. Paul London and Brian Kendrick defeated Casey James and Idol Stevens to retain the WWE Tag Team Championship. Montel, yep, we could hear you, man. We're talking about No Mercy 2006. Happened 10 years ago today.
Awesome.
Montel Vontavious Porter, also known as MVP, defeated Marty Garner. Mr. Kennedy defeated The Undertaker by disqualification. Rey Mysterio defeated Chavo Guerrero in a Falls Count Anywhere match, and Chris Benoit defeated William Regal. And to really, really solidify his spot in the WWE Hall of Fame, and, you know, just as a true all-around pioneer in the wrestling business, King Booker T defeated Bobby Lashley, Batista, and Finlay in a fatal four-way match to retain the world heavyweight championship. So that was 10 years ago today. And if there's anything else, let's see. No, that's about it, man. That's as good as it gets for this day in WWE history. So
I wish it would have fell on the day when Stone Cold made his return to the ring and fought Rikishi at No Mercy at 2000, because that was like my most special No Mercy memory.
Oh, very cool. Well, hey, at least you got it in here. Very fitting with tomorrow, actually now today's events later this night, Sunday, October 9th, 2016, live at 8 p.m. We're getting No Mercy, man. It's here tonight, so we all got to get ready for that. It's going to be a great show, like you were saying earlier, hopefully a 10 out of 10. We'll find out in a couple hours, but for me, thank you very much, Big T, for an incredible episode, number 22. And I hope everyone has a great week and enjoys No Mercy and, you know, make it a good one. Make it better than the last. That's what we all got to do. So thanks again for having me, Big T. Peace and love to everyone out there listening.
Hey, Sean, you know, it's always, always a pleasure to have you on here with me every single week. And what you were reading, I just want to let you know that that's the pay-per-view where they had MVP, the star.
Trying to get Big T back here on the show. But he was about to say some information that I am not privy to. Personally, I don't know much about MVP. I did get to hear him on the Ross report a couple years back, and apparently he was a very close friend, traveled down the road with Chris Benoit, who also had a match in that car 10 years ago tonight. So we got Big T back, and he's going to give us that info, man. So hopefully we could wrap the show up here with some EC3 in a little bit. And once again, everyone, thanks again for tuning in. Big T, thanks for having me, and we will catch you down the road.
All right, Sean, I appreciate you coming along and being on this journey with me, and hopefully that's the last audio issue that I have tonight, because I hope I can talk about, you know, that history that you spoke of and wrap this up nicely. But if I do have any more issues, please let me know. By the way, when we were talking about earlier, when I told you Curt Hawkins is probably going to fight a local jobber, that's what happened at No Mercy 2006 when MVP fought for Marty Garner. That's the pay-per-view it happened at, and how ironic that you read it. So 10 years later, glorified jobber, I think, is going to take on Curt Hawkins. But I'll tell you, with Raw, like I was talking about with Raw, got the title, you know, to basically lift the spirits of America, you know, and because 9/11 happened, and he held the title for a few weeks. Austin came back, much looking, you know, better than ever, came back, won the title back. That's when William Regal was the WWF commissioner, and then he screws over the WWF, hits Angle in the head with the title, helps Austin regain the WWE title for the Alliance. And then William Regal on SmackDown the following Thursday was named the Alliance Commissioner. So that turned into like a big old storyline there with the whole, you know, WCW, ECW Alliance going up against WWE. It was awesome. But be that as it may, that was a stellar Raw pay-per-view. No Mercy from 10 years ago. You know, I remember it very well. That's when there was the brand exclusive pay-per-views. I remember MVP was just, you know, a young guy breaking into the business. And, you know, now look at where MVP is today. You know, he's one of the biggest talked about guys. And how ironic that the No Mercy from 10 years ago was a SmackDown brand exclusive pay-per-view. And this year's No Mercy is a SmackDown brand exclusive pay-per-view. I mean, you know, it's all right there. It's just, it's amazing. I can't wait for it and just hope for the best, people. That's all we can do. But as far as anything that you heard tonight, to give you guys, you know, just a little rundown, whether you tuned in for Raw and SmackDown, whether you tuned in for news and rumors, whether you tuned in for No Mercy predictions, or if you tuned in for it all, I really believe that even though I'm not one to really go past, you know, usually the 2-hour time clock, one where the news was so important, the rumors were so important, everything was just important this week. It really was. And, Sean, you know, I hope you're okay with, you know, how the way it went down. I mean, of course, you know, I'll talk to you about it after the show, but I hope you're okay, you know, with how it went down. I know it was unexpected, but man, I think we really, really gave in some good information tonight. So, I don't know if we got Sean still on with us, but,
Sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
I hope everything went smooth for you, but I know it went, I know it's, you know, over the clock, like I was explaining to everybody. I know everybody listening is gonna wonder why. And I'm trying to give them that explanation why. Because everybody knows by now we pride ourselves, you know, on being a 2-hour podcast. And we went over tonight, but this week was just so important.
You know, sometimes in life you just get a little extra, a little dessert, and that's what our fans got tonight. And, you know, that's just how it goes. It was good.
Definitely perfect, man. I wouldn't have it any other way, and I hope all of you enjoyed it too. And as far as No Mercy goes, for me to give you just a little bit of today in wrestling history, you know, for me, well, not today in wrestling history. Let's do a little No Mercy history. It was 16 years ago, Stone Cold Steve Austin returned after being run over by a car at Survivor Series of 99. Storyline portrayed out, because I know I talked about it briefly earlier, so I'll give you a quick rundown, and this is how we're going to close out on a No Mercy note here. It played out where Stone Cold got hit by a car. He came back. They had to find the perpetrator. Foley was commissioner. They had all this stuff going on, right? Well, that Rikishi was the one to step forward and admit that he's the one that ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he did it for The Rock because he wanted The Rock to be the most famous one, you know, in the WWE, you know, over Stone Cold, blah, blah, blah. And this led to Stone Cold, you know, The Rock, of course, not agreeing with what Rikishi did. This led to Stone Cold, you know, requesting a no-holds-barred match with Rikishi at No Mercy of 2000. They brawled all the way out to the parking lot. I mean, Stone Cold put Rikishi in the back of his truck because Stone Cold drove the truck into the arena. He loads Rikishi in the back of his pickup truck, drives him to outside the arena, and it was like he was going to run him down, and then the cops ended up getting involved. Austin got arrested. It was a crazy, crazy scene. And going forward, it turned out that Triple H was the one that hired Rikishi to be the wheelman because Triple H was the one that had everything to gain in Austin's absence. So that was one of the most special No Mercies that I've ever witnessed. Not to even mention, that's what skyrocketed the Hall of Fame career, the potential Hall of Fame career of Kurt Angle, when he won his first WWE title against The Rock. So just great No Mercy moments there. you know, with all of you. 2000 was a great year. Stone Cold Rikishi, that No Holds Barred match, that is a real hard one to recapture. And mercy, 16 years later, that we're going to see later on tonight, because it's after midnight now, that we're going to see later on tonight is going to be something that we'll be talking about, you know, 16 years later, just like I was with No Mercy 2000. So let's hope for the best and hope for a great event. Isn't May, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in to episode number 22 of the Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling podcast right here tonight. It definitely was a pleasure to be on here and talk with you guys and go over everything that, you know, Sean and I went over, and truly was an epic show. So, you know, now like we usually do, you guys know how we close out our podcast every week. I'm just, pulling up our outro here to send us off in the next week. But, while I'm doing this, just to keep you guys entertained for 1 minute, you know, the rumors that we covered tonight, definitely exceptional, second to none. Not gonna hear anything like that anywhere else on YouTube. I mean, what you heard tonight is the best of the best. And I would challenge anybody to find it better anywhere else, because we delivered, we were on our A game, and we did it tonight. And I'll have links down below to where you can subscribe to the podcast. I'll have links down below of my interview with Mr. Jason Knight for you guys to check out, for those of you watching on YouTube. And also for those of you watching on YouTube, don't forget to like this video, comment on it, and subscribe. And let's keep those subscriber numbers moving on up. And for everybody that's listening on iTunes and Podomatic right now, you subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating, all that good stuff. Check out all the episodes, you know, that I got on there, all that good stuff, ones that you may have missed. And then as far as where all of you can check up on me, not on YouTube and not on iTunes and Podomatic, check out www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com. And that's my website where it'll be the number one website for all of your professional wrestling needs right here. So anyway, guys, thank you very much for making a historic episode number 22 success. And hold on, I almost got our outro up here. Took a while to load. I just got to get the screen share and everything in effect. That's what I'm doing here. But I appreciate you guys coming on here, hanging out with us, and leave comments if you got any questions about the rumors, if you got any questions about the news. Of course, from listening to the show, we'll follow up as soon as we hear updates on any of this. Like I said, all the rumors, you know, take it with a grain of salt, all that good stuff. But as soon as there's updates, you better believe it, we will let you know. So anyway, you know how we close out the show here. A week on the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling podcast. You know how we do it. We only know how to do it one way, ladies and gentlemen. And with the 2-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and I'm still disappointed that he didn't win at Bound for Glory, why they let Bobby Lashley, I'll never know. But then they let Eddie Edwards beat Bobby Lashley and become the TNA World Champ.
Lost your audio. Like Big T was saying, it's been a raucous week over in TNA for more than just one reason. Much controversy, EC3 lost his opportunity to defeat Bobby Lashley. We got Big T back now to wrap up his point and wrap up the show. Big T, you were saying about EC3 and the disappointment that TNA brought to him.
Yes, you know what, it's like, I'm not taking anything away from Eddie Edwards. I know he's a great athlete, but come on, TNA. He's your golden goose. You don't disrespect your golden goose. You give that man the title because he deserves it. And that's the man who's going to send us off on here in the sunset tonight, Mr. EC3. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for tuning in to episode number 22. And we'll see you on the podcast next week for episode number 23. All that good stuff. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. And we will see you next week for episode number 23 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And here's Mr. EC3 to close us on out for episode number 22. And we'll see you on episode number 23 next week. Enjoy EC3. We'll see you next week for the podcast. And good night, everybody.
Well, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.